If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
It's the spring of your time, and the time has come. The open road receives you. Won't you roll to a stop? Won't you gaze at the drop and the awful miles below you? Take care where you step, don't you know that it's dead.
This is Soldiers of Patriotism with your host, Uncle Bean at Tennessee Patriot Command, who is on with us but might drop at any time. They're getting severe weather out there. So y'all know we had some severe weather here earlier in the week. We had seven people lost their lives down in Granbury, just about 35 miles south of me here. I was lucky, and my wife and I were lucky and fortunate. When they come in from the west like that, they'll either dip up to the north side of the county or to the south side of the county. This particular time, it dipped down to the south side of the county, down to Johnson County, Granbury County, and some good people down there lost their homes. So keep them in your prayers. The time is about 5 minutes after the top of the hour. I am your host, Michael B. from Texas Patriot Command. And the phone number is 718-305-7176. Do give us a look at conservativenationradio.org as well as traditionalamericanmovement.com. You all know that Conservative Nation Radio is the mouthpiece for those fine folks over there at Traditional American Movement. We do enjoy being partnered with them and love having them on our having our brothers and sisters from Traditional American Movement on our show with us every week. So we'll be having several of them in today to give us their thoughts and impressions of the week just passed. We've got a big show today, friends. We've got our sister Kim Parrott, a really good friend of ours. I tell you, you know, we got a lot of good friends, but, you know, if there's just a handful or two handfuls that I'd point out, you know, there'd be Kurt Blackwood, there'd be Ron Edcox, there'd be Boyd from Alaska and Chuck and you know, all the good people here at Conservative Nation Radio, all the good people at TraditionalAmericanMovement.com, all the fans that follow us on our Facebook page, Facebook/Soldiers of Patriotism, as well as Facebook/Conservative Nation Radio. And we do appreciate you all. Kim is one that really pushes message on our behalf, and so we're really looking forward. She's going to be on with her son, Nolan. They're going to be having a discussion about Common Core, C-Scope, and why homeschooling is the way to go. And I've listened to them before on one of our other programs. I've listened to Nolan, that is. We actually asked Kim to join us today and speak from a parent perspective on that. And Kim will also be holding over to discuss all the scandals of this last week. For those of you that don't follow Kim Parrott on Facebook or on Twitter, she's in the know. She stays on top of this stuff and someone that you definitely can look to get information out that you've not seen or get information going that you're putting out yourself. So we're looking forward to that. We've also got our buddy John Stevens coming on. The Sissification of America will be helping us to discuss all of these scandals. And then we do have the Step Right Up segment that is going to be, oh my goodness, Dave Vance, I believe is his name. It's going to be joining us. I'll get Bing in here in just a second. If he wants to bring himself in and correct me and say, no, Michael, you're wrong. That's just fine. But we do have a big show lined up today, so I want to jump right into my rant that I want to talk about today, because I got a little clip I want to play with it, you know. But I think before we can go into the rant, we need to define a lie, what a lie is. Oh, and by the way, thank you for giving us a pass last weekend. It was Mother's Day. Had I not canceled the show and had been on myself, it had been a hell of a fight here with my wife. So it was just one of those things. Sometimes you got to pick your wars, your battles, and this was one that just wasn't worth having. But let's define a lie. A lie is an untruth told with the intent to deceive. An untruth told with the intent to deceive. Now, how is, say, Benghazi different from the weapons of mass destruction issue under President Bush, which we're now hearing the mumbling rants from the left starting to throw out in their defense of Obama, why there needs to not be an investigation, or one that is so overtly scrupulous in looking at why President Obama or Secretary of State Hillary Clinton dropped the ball on this. Because, after all, there never was an investigation of the weapons of mass destruction issue under President Bush. Well, to those liberals, I would say that, you know, there was no WMD found. But a cursory examination of the facts prior to the Iraq front on the war of terrorism bears out that indeed Saddam did have WMD. I mean, we all remember the Kurds being gassed. Oh, yeah. Gassed with sarin gas. I think that's what the that's what the they're using over there in Syria now. Oh, wait a minute. But we have that general that wrote that book, that Iraqi general that said, oh, but about 3 months before you guys came in, 18 months after 9/11, we shipped all that stuff over to Syria. And we do happen to know that several leading Democrats believed that there was WMD. I seem to recall one individual saying, well, one way or another, we're determined to deny Iraq the capacity to develop weapons of mass destruction and missiles to deliver them. That is the bottom line. That would be Mr. Cigar Man himself, President Bill Clinton, on February 4th, 1998. Well, here's an interesting one. Letter to the President Clinton, signed by Democrat Senators Carl Levin, Tom Daschle, John Kerry, and others on October 9th, 1998. We urge you, after consulting with Congress and consistent with the U.S. Constitution and laws, to take necessary actions, including, if appropriate, air and missile strikes on suspect Iraqi sites, to respond effectively to the threat posed by Iraqi's refusal to end its, oh my gosh, weapons of mass destruction program. Al Gore, we know that he has stored secret supplies of biological and chemical weapons throughout his country. That was on September 23rd. Later that afternoon, he said, Iraq's search for weapons of mass destruction has proven impossible to deter, and we should assume that it will continue for as long as Saddam is in power. Here's one of my favorites from Mr. KKK himself, Senator Robert Byrd. The last UN weapons inspectors left Iraq in October of 98. We're confident that Saddam Hussein retained some stockpiles of chemical and biological weapons, and that he has since embarked on a crash course to build up his chemical and biological warfare capabilities. Intelligent reports indicate that he's seeking nuclear weapons. Thank you very much for that, Mr. Byrd. Rest in peace. Senator John Kerry, now Secretary of State, I will be voting to give President of the United States the authority to use force if necessary to disarm Saddam Hussein, because I believe that a deadly arsenal of, damn it, there's that word again, weapons of mass destruction is in his hand and is John Kerry, what are you saying here? A real and grave threat to our society? So when these liberals want to talk about why we didn't investigate the quote-unquote lies that President Bush and Secretary Colin Powell were saying there about the WMD, let's just throw this stuff back on them because these fools agreed with us. So, you know, whereas Iraq's WMD was not a willful attempt to lie to we the people, unless, of course, that is President Clinton, Senator Rodham Clinton, John Kerry, and all of these other buffoons were lying to us as well. That was not a willful attempt to lie or deceive the American people. Whereas Benghazi, on the other hand, was a willful attempt to distort the truth, misrepresent the facts, and lie to the American people. And liberals would be wise to get their facts straight and get clarification about what a lie is. Now, with that definition behind us, well, just slap my ass and call me Betty. Seems like no one in this administration is capable of taking responsibility for anything that falls under the executive branch, and as they've done since day one in 2008, they continue to deflect blame and criticism by blaming it on someone else. And all the while, Obama has been advising the American populace to reject those voices that claim tyranny is always lurking around the corner. Well, Mr. Obama, it would appear from this bitter clinger that indeed tyranny is lurking around the corner under your executive branch, sir, and your highbrow scheme to get the folks to not pay attention is failing. Earlier this week, David Axelrod blames it on the size of government. That's right, folks. Can you believe this? He said, part of being president is there's so much beneath you, you can't know because the government is so vast. Earth to Mr. Axelrod, what the hell you think we've been trying to say since 2009 here in the Tea Party? And Mr. Obama blamed the lack of cooperation on Rush Limbaugh earlier this week when he said, I genuinely believe there are Republicans out there who'd like to work with us, but they're fearful of their base and they're concerned about what Rush might say about them. as a consequence, we get the kind of gridlock that makes people cynical about government. Well, no, sir, that doesn't make us cynical. What makes us cynical is when the IRS attacks and scrutinizes we conservatives in a tyrannical measure. But I digress. You know, it's kind of odd, Mr. Obama. I thought you were the most powerful man in the free world. Rush, kudos, my man. Kudos for being more powerful than Obama, by his own admission, apparently. And Jay Carney, that little college frat boy. And I got to tell you what, the IRS, he said, the IRS knew in 2011 of this scandal. The White House knew 2 weeks ago. But Obama, he just found out last Friday. But folks, what really takes the cake, the funniest and most hilarious irony to come out of D.C. last week was by that good old friend of ours from New York, Charlie Rangel. When he said, in regards to the IRS scandal, this is wrong to abuse the tax system. This is wrong to abuse the tax system. You think, Charlie boy? Speaking of abusing the tax system, tell us, how's that censor feel to you, you dipshit, for abusing it yourself? Folks, I know I'm a partisan. I know I'm extremely partisan. But honestly, in trying to temper my partisanship and circumscribe my passions within due bounds, and honestly trying to set things aside and just be that low-information, apathetic American who never pays attention to anything but American Idol and votes only in the general every 4 years for the guy who talks the best line of crap, does it really appear as if this president knows absolutely nothing about anything? And if his employee and what his employees do? And why is it this president learns about so many things the same way that I do, that is, on the news? And why isn't he ever ultimately responsible for anything anyone does in his administration? You know, I spent 6 years in the 82nd Airborne Division at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. I was a buck sergeant for the last 3 years of those, an E5, a Sergeant E5, junior NCO. And I had 12 men underneath my charge. And you can bet your butt that when one of them screwed up, platoon daddy and or top were all over my ass like stink on shit. And that ball of shit just kept rolling down harder when I disciplined them, which I did. And I did with every tool at my disposal. You know, a wise man once wrote, first they came for the communist, and I didn't speak out because I wasn't a communist. Then they came for the socialists, and I didn't speak out because I wasn't a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionist. I didn't speak out because I wasn't a trade unionist. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me. That man's name was Martin Niemöller. I think he was a German. And finally, folks, just to wrap up my rant over the last week, since the last time we talked, Kermit Gosnell was found guilty. And I find it ironic that he was found exactly for what President Obama voted to allow as state senator in Illinois when he voted against the Born Alive Act. I've said it before and I'm going to say it again. Abortion is criminal, and no woman has the right of other humans' bodies, whether it's inside of her or not. History books will look at this period of America's history as grotesque and barbaric as slavery. That's my editorial, and I'm sticking to it. It's about 20 minutes after the top of the hour. Brother Bing, let's go ahead and get in our soft break real quick, and then I'll come back at you, all right?
Oh, well, thank you, buddy. It's pretty clear that the switch is on at conservativenationradio.org. And if you have any doubts, just check out our new Saturday show with internet radio veteran Robert Garding. The new Wise Conservatism show now comes to you on conservativenationradio.org every Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern, free central. Robert has a big following, so listen Saturday and you'll find out why. Thousands love his brand of new Wise Conservatism. Brain thing here. And you will too. The New Wise Conservatism Show with Robert Garding, Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. I'm having a problem with the conservative label here today, Michael.
Ah, now you sound great,
but her,
we'll be right back.
But her.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
I don't believe it. My savings are gone.
Okay, think. Where'd you have them last?
I was home, then I spent them on that vacation and this tiny suit of armor. Now they're gone.
Weird. Weird? Not really. Not saving now means no money later. Put away a few bucks, feel like a million bucks. For free ideas on ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's feedthepig.org. Oh, I broke his little gauntlet.
Oh, no.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
This is Soldiers of Patriotism with Michael B. and Uncle Bing on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
All right, we're back. It is about 23 minutes after the top of the hour. This is Soldiers of Patriotism with, along with your host, Michael B. from Texas Patriot Studios Command, as well as Uncle Bing Fisher at Tennessee Patriot Studios Command. Brother Bing, how's it been going the last week or so, my man? Did you have a good last Sunday with Mama?
Well, I'll tell you what, well, as you know, last week I was pretty sick, man. So I finally got over that. So, you know, just stuff happens. But I sat there, as you know, my turkey season did not pan out as well as I thought it was going to. And I went out Saturday morning I went out actually just to kind of look at my creek. I got a little creek that runs on my property out here. And by God, if I did not walk up to get some firewood for a fire that, because we had some Tradam people over here. We had Ron over, Kurt Blackwood, and we had Ron Adcox, Kurt Blackwood, and Chuck Killen. And they came over this weekend. We had a pretty good time, man. It was pretty cool. But I get out there, right, and I'm looking for this smoke wood, and so I found it. And I'm sitting there getting it off the wood pile in the back. And I look down in the creek, and here's a big turkey sitting right in front of me, man. And I don't got no gun. I'm like, oh, no. So it goes flying. I scared it. It goes flying away, you know. Like, come on, man. Give me a break.
Well, I'm quite shocked that you didn't have your weapon on you.
No, well, it's my property, man. You know, it's kind of like, you know, sometimes I carry it, sometimes I don't. But
well,
you know,
now
just,
you know, man. You got to do in a bonfire, dipping the bottle.
Yeah.
You know, it might be a turkey out there you need to take care of,
or something. There might be somebody else out there I can take care of too. But yeah, I tell you what. But great rant, brother, and, you know, definitely right, man. And I'm telling you what, the liberals in this administration is like the gift that keeps on giving. You know what I mean? With some of the things that are going on with these scandals and so on, it's like, oh, and then they piss the press off. That's the biggest one. You don't, you know, that's the elitist establishment. You don't piss the press off because they're going to come after you. And, you know, then of course you got, you know, some of the people out there that are saying, well, this just a ruse to throw us off the track. I don't think so. I really don't think so. I think that's the last thing you want to do is make the press mad at you. But we do have a good, you know, good buddy of ours who had a rant before on our Step Right Up segment, and we're running a little bit late, Michael, but that's cool. And,
well, should we go ahead and get that going?
Yeah, we're going to go ahead and get that going, man.
All right, and I think 919 is going to camp like I don't come up.
Vibrato.
Are we ready?
Vibrato. Vibrato.
I want to welcome Dave Vance. Dave's in Tennessee up here. He's not really close to me, but he's just a good friend, and he's got a rant. And I'm going to let him take the floor. Dave, how you doing, buddy?
All right. How about you?
Oh, pretty good, man. You sound great. But go ahead.
Well, thanks. You sound a lot better than you did earlier in the week. All right. Well, here we go. Team Obama in Tennessee. The recent bombing in Boston is a grim reminder of the threat posed by Islamists in America. And make no mistake about it, their religion was a motivation for this murderous attack. According to a database created by the religionofpeace.com, this recent attack is one of more than 20,000 jihad attacks around the world since 9/11. There's a definite pattern here. No other so-called religion has such a bloody track record. Whatever moderate Muslims exist have failed to have a moderating effect on their fellow travelers. While we hope this type of attack is not repeated in America, nothing being done by the Obama administration would give us any reason to believe that there won't be future attacks. Keep in mind that under the Obama administration, all references to radical Islam have been removed from the training manuals used by the FBI and the Fort Hood attack has been categorized as workplace violence, despite the obvious nature of the attack. In his autobiography, A Dossier of Hope, he insinuated Obama, that is, that he would stand with Muslim Americans should the political wind shift in an ugly direction. Keep in mind the Muslim Brotherhood doctrine that he's aligned himself with. Allah is our objective, the Prophet is our leader, the Quran is our law, jihad is our way, dying in the way of Allah is our highest hope. And just what is their strategy? A 1991 document titled An Exploratory Memorandum on the General Strategic Goal for the Group in North America tells us very plainly, the work of the Brotherhood in the U.S. is a kind of grand jihad in eliminating and destroying the Western civilization from within and sabotaging its miserable house by their hands and the hands of the believers so that it is eliminated and God's religion is made victorious over all other religions. Now, that's their version of God, not ours. These are their words, nothing that I've made up. This document was discovered during a 2004 FBI raid of the home of a Muslim Brotherhood operative in Virginia. The 18-page document lays out a detailed plan for the civilization jihad to settle Islam in the U.S. As stated in the memo, so that the Muslim religion could be enabled within the souls, minds, and lives of the people of the country. The Muslim Brotherhood is one of the two dominant proponents of global Sharia law. This memo was introduced into evidence during the 2007-2008 Holy Land Foundation trial, the biggest terrorism financing trial in U.S. history, which, by the way, the DOJ under Holder has dropped. This involved raising money for Hamas through an Islamic charity. Defendants stipulated to the memo document in its entirety, meaning that they agreed that the document was what it said it was and what the prosecution said it was. That's very important. They did not dispute the prosecution's description of the document and the implications of the document. The trial resulted in the conviction of Muslim Brotherhood operatives in the U.S. Kerr, Isna, and Nate, all listed in the memo as friends, among other Islamist organizations, were named as unindicted co-conspirators. And there's 29 different organizations that were listed in this finding. Unfortunately, these documents that Obama has to know about haven't deterred him from appointing known members of the Muslim Brotherhood to sensitive positions. Below are some of the MB appointments made by Obama. Arif Alakhan, and I apologize, I know I'm murdering these names, Assistant Secretary for Policy Development for the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. Mohammed El-Bari, Homeland Security Advisor. Rahad Hussein, Special Envoy to the OIC, Organization of the Islamic Conference. Salem Al-Mahdi, Obama Advisor, founder of Muslim Public Affairs Council and its current Executive Director. Iman Mohammed Maqid, Obama's Sharia Czar, Islamic Society of North America. That last one should really concern you. Ibu Patel, Advisory Council on the Faith-Based Neighborhood Partnerships. Worse still is his appointment of CIA Director John Brennan, who has announced even the use of the term jihad, jihadist, or jihadi. In 2010, he said that jihad is a legitimate tenet of Islam. Now, that's our CIA director. These are the people charged with keeping our country safe. But it gets worse. Obama and company are not the only ones whose incompetence in catering to Islamists are putting us at risk while promoting Islam. Here in Tennessee, Governor Bill Haslam appointed Samar Ali, a known expert in Sharia-compliant finance, to head the International Division of the Tennessee Economic Development Council. Sharia-compliant finance has been described by jihadists as jihad with money. Ali's resume includes an internship for the Islamic International Arab Bank in Amman, Jordan, an institution that was under investigation for funneling money to terrorists when she went to work for them. So she had to know that what this bank was about when she went to work for them. Even worse, from a security perspective, Commissioner of Safety and Homeland Security Bill Gibbons announced a partnership with the American Muslim Advisory Committee, AMAC, in November of 2011. Not only was there a partnership formed, but an employee of the DHS, James Cotter, the Homeland Security Middle Tennessee Regional Advisor, was a member of AMAC. He was actually initially a member of a Muslim Rapid Response Team, which was created to protest an anti-terrorism bill. So we have a member of the DHS partnering with Muslims to protest an anti-terrorist bill that our state legislators saw the need to get passed. In mid-February of 2012, Rutherford County Sheriff's Office sponsored a counterterrorism training program with the Strategic Engagement Group. That's Frank Gaffney's organization. This event was criticized by both the Council of American Islamic Relations, CARE, no surprise there, and local Tennessee Muslim groups, as well as the Tennessee DHS. This is despite the fact that the seminar met the standards of the Tennessee Peace Officers Standards and Training Commission. So they're criticizing something because it doesn't fit their political ideology. That's what our DHS was doing. They equated it with hate speech only because it brought up the truth about what these people are here to do. The critics of the course, however, supported a two-day counterterrorism program February 27th and 28th involving a U.S. attorney for Nashville, the FBI Office of Counterterrorism, and West Point Center for Combating Terrorism, and members of AMAC and ACO. ACO is America Center for Outreach, which is an offshoot of AMAC, and Renza Suleiman is involved with both of them. She's actually now a lobbyist, lobbies at our Capitol in Nashville. So we have an Islamist lobbyist in Nashville, Tennessee. Several state legislators were denied information as to the members of AMAC and ACO who spoke at this training event. Further, they were informed it was none of their concern and the information was on a need-to-know basis. A source from a local law enforcement agency who attended the USDOJ-sponsored program remarked that the members of the board spoke expressing the view that Islam was a religion of peace. This source thought that the overall program was a waste of time. The source had also attended the SEG program sponsored by the Rutherford Sheriff's Office and found it most informative. The USDOJ-sponsored program may have actually suggested that the real threat to Homeland Security in America came from white neo-Nazi groups and right-wing Christian extremists, rather than Islamic extremists. Sounds like Napolitano speak to me. Let's talk a little bit about the organizations in Tennessee. Remza Suleiman, who I mentioned a minute ago, is the current director of the Muslim American Center for Outreach. She brought CARE into Tennessee to protest against the 2011 anti-terrorism bill. This year, a CARE representative speaking at the Texas Muslim Day, Capitol Day event, said, if we are practicing Muslims, we are above the Constitution. So this is who she's aligned herself with, members of CARE who think they're above the Constitution. She's also a former lobbyist for the Tennessee Immigrants Refugee Rights Coalition that also protested the bill. As I say, that protest led to the formal creation of AMAC. Former CARE leader in Austin, Texas, named Ben Hisman, is featured heavily in the video Losing Our Sons video, documenting the radicalization of Little Rock shooter and Muslim convert from Memphis, Carlos Bledsoe. Ben Hisman was also the Muslim chaplain at Vanderbilt who, at an MSA event, Muslim Students Association event, confirmed the Islamic death punishment for homosexuality. Okay. back to the memo for a minute here. There's all of these organizations have outlets in Tennessee. You have the ISNA, which is the Islamic Society of North America, the Muslim Students Association, North American Islamic Trust, and the Islamic Circle of North America, as well as the Muslim Youth of North America. MSA, of course, and Vanderbilt has already displayed some pretty radical activity there. The Pleasant Valley School is a private Islamic school in Memphis, has deep connections to the Muslim Brotherhood. Muslim Brotherhood, NAIT, holds the deed to mosque that housed the Muslim Society of Memphis, the MSA, and at least 10 other adjacent properties identified at this time. The Memphis Islamic Center recruited fundamentalist Yasser Qadhi as their resident scholar. Muslim Brotherhood mega organization ISNA shares the mailing address with the Islamic Center of Nashville, the MSA in Memphis, and the Islamic Association of Greater Memphis. The Tennessee Immigrant Refugee Rights Coalition, with $1 million in funding, are constantly lobbying against pro-American, pro-English, pro-citizen groups. Their board includes representatives from AMAC, Catholic Charities, and refugee settlement agencies. And when the AMAC was formed, Bill Gibbons, the director of safety, actually sent a welcome letter to the organization, and then later denied that there was a formal partnership. So it's not just happening in D.C. It's happening in Tennessee. I'm sure it's happening in Texas. It's obviously happening in Boston. Tennessee, however, just so you know, because it is the buckle of the Bible Belt, is ground zero. The Murfreesboro Mosque that most of you have heard about, the imam at that mosque is actually the university that he was taught in Cairo, and I can't recall the name and would mispronounce it if I could recall it, is the highest, that is the cream of the crop, and he was number four in his class. So they didn't send their B team to Tennessee. That's something to keep in mind. And I have to wonder how we got here. Well, now, obviously, an ignorant and apathetic public had a lot to do with this, but the people that we elect who actually take the oath of office, most of them are ignorant of the Constitution and really have no desire to learn and no desire to uphold the Constitution. Here we are 12 years after September 11th. Some of these officials, including the governor, will no doubt take part in Memorial Day events where they're going to honor those who have paid the ultimate sacrifice for our freedom, including many who've fought in Iraq and Afghanistan. And they're going to go on and on. At the same time they are allegedly honoring these people, they are undercutting, they are supporting in trying to legitimize the enemy who holds the same ideology of the people that they died fighting. So the families that attend these events with these public officials are going to hear them go on and on up there, go on about the sacrifices, but some of these same officials have promoted or allowed Islam to be promoted in our country. And I think it's just disgraceful. I think that people need to push their elected officials, if they have a county official, state senators, state representatives, on up. They have to be informed. If they're not willing to inform themselves about one of the greatest threats to our country, they don't deserve their vote. And that's the end of my rant. Thank you.
Well, Dave, that's a great rant.
I'm sorry, Michael.
That's all right.
Thank you so much, Dave. That was just a great rant, man.
If you've got time, we need you to stick around because we're gonna blow through our hard break. I know Duke's gonna be mad at me, but we've got a really tight schedule today.
I got Thomas that wants to get online here to talk about this a little bit, just for a second. He said so.
Okay, well, Nolan and Kim, hang tight. We're gonna have to run John a little late. We've got a packed schedule today, folks. So we're gonna have to mess with the schedule a little bit. Dave, I need you to stick around. Because everything you just talked about, and I venture to say that Padre Smith is going to bring up, is going to tie into why Kim Parrott, our next guest, took the initiative to go, part of the reason she took the initiative to go to homeschooling with her son Nolan, who are both going to be with us in just a few minutes. But all of this Muslim, Islamic stuff that the Obama administration, hang tight, go ahead and bring them on live, being But all of this, it ties into Agenda 21. It ties into Common Core and C-Scope here in Texas. The Muslim Brotherhood is infiltrating our educational system. I mean, and people think we're wearing our tinfoil hats, but just the most minute research, like you've done on the rant there, Dave, will prove us right in what this administration is doing. But, Padre, go ahead.
Hey, Michael.
Welcome, Thomas.
Long time, no talk to. But I wanted to jump in today. I didn't know what you guys were going to talk about. But, Michael, I want to share something with you. I want to clarify something and give you evidence of something that most Americans don't know about. They did find weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. If you remember, and it was announced in the news, they found 500 canisters of ricin gas or whatever, ricin gas in 500 canisters. But the news media, the mainstream media said because those canisters were from 1981, it didn't count. And
yeah,
it
I remember
was swept
that.
Under the rug.
Well, and we also found yellow cake in Canada that came from Iraq as well. So you're absolutely right, Thomas.
Exactly. I know that for a fact, the yellow cake, because my librarian, where I went to school at ITT Tech here in Kansas City, we were talking about why she was Iraqi. Her father-in-law was killed by Saddam Hussein. So I was asking her, I said, Americans say that we went over there for oil. And she made this comment point blank, and I had to laugh when she said it. She said just like this, American people are stupid.
And well,
I
we are.
And I know, but I said, why? She said, do you know what yellow cake is? And I said, no. She said, you don't? I said, no. She said, it's uranium. Iraq contains the largest uranium ore deposits in the world. And she told me point blank, that's why we were there. And she went on to also tell me, not only were Al-Qaeda training camps in Iraq, but Saddam Hussein was meeting with and working directly with Al-Qaeda. She told me this. And I looked at her, and I was just blown away. And this is information that I've been privy to since 2006. So, you know, when I hear in the news about how, Bush lied and our soldiers died, I'm thinking to myself, so I don't want to go into too much into that because you guys may have something else to talk about. But this is what I want to talk about, and you touched on it. You touched on the Kermit Gosnell trial. But let me tell you something. What's even more explosive. Because for those of you who don't know, because of my personal story, and I'm not going to get into it for sake of time, the abortion issue is very personal to me. And I just recently found out my actual birth records from the hospital that was trying to push my mom to abort me were destroyed. They destroyed my birth record. And the reason being, I suspect it's because it was a hospital that was not a regular hospital, but it was an alternative hospital. In other words, they experimented on people. I'll leave it at that. But just a few days ago, a video, undercover video done by Mark Crutcher of Life Dynamics, right from right there in Texas, he released undercover video of three abortion clinic workers who came forward talking about an abortion doctor in Houston, Texas, this man not only did what Kermit Gosnell did, but he also would twist the heads of the babies off with his bare hands.
Yeah, this is coming to light here in Texas.
Right.
Well, Thomas, I'm up against a soft bait great brother, and I need to get Kim on here, but if you could stick around, I'd like to get you back in here in a little bit. Would that be all right?
Well, I have a show at 5, but I could stay for a little bit. That's no problem.
Okay. Thanks, brother. I hate to cut you off, but I'm up against a soft break here, and I got to pay some bills.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, man, we got a full board on the callers here, man. It's unbelievable.
I know. We're gonna cut our break short. Let's just do one little 30-second clip, and then come in with our bump. And we're gonna go. I've got Nolan and Kim open, so you guys stand by. Coming out of our bumper, I'm gonna introduce you guys. We're gonna go right into it. When John calls Bing, we're gonna have to move him back a little bit. We're gonna have to work our magic and tie all this together, which it does all tie together. And you're probably wondering how, folks. Kim's gonna show us how here in just a minute. Hang tight.
Oh, it definitely is.
So, I'm a dog, and I just got adopted by this new human guy, and I'm starting to wonder how he got along without me. I mean, okay, something as simple as walking around the block. He's got this leash thing, and he puts me on one end and him on the other, and I'm just taking him around. I think he's afraid of getting lost. Without that leash and me guiding him along, I don't think he'd find his way back home. But it's kind of cute.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
This is Soldiers of Patriotism with Michael B. and Uncle Bing on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
All right, this is It is about 47 minutes after the top of the hour. Brother Bing and I, we're going to jump right into it with our next guest. We've got Padre Smith on hold, and as well as Dave Vance. I'd like to pull these guys back in here, Bing, if we can. Because, see, I think we can... excuse me. Whoa, pardon me. I apologize for that. We can bring... it's very simple to tie all this together. My rant, Dave's rant, what Padre Thomas was talking about and what Kim and Nolan are going to talk about, which is homeschooling, why Kim chose to homeschool Nolan, why Nolan wanted to be homeschooled. Now, they may not express the reasons that I'm thinking of, but I'm sure they're there. We'll ask them here in just a second. You see, because, folks, in our public education system, what Dave was talking about, how the Muslim fascists have infiltrated our government at the express written consent of this president. They're not only doing it in our government in ways that Dave spoke about, but they're doing it in our public education system with Common Core curriculum. And in Texas, which we don't have Common Core curriculum, but we have an offshoot from that, and it's a curriculum written by Linda Hamilton Darling, along with her mentor, Bill Ayers. Yes, Bill Ayers, one of the authors of Common Core, folks. And there are curriculums. I can't speak for Common Core because I don't really investigate it because it doesn't affect me, but I do see scope. And in my circles here in Texas, locally on the ground, we stay acutely aware of what the C-Scope curriculum is teaching, and there's a lot of Muslim indoctrination in it. So with that, I'd like to bring in Kim Parrott and Nolan Parrott. Kim, I want to start with you, so hang tight, Nolan. Kim, I'd like for you just first of all to give us your basic thoughts on the premises that I'm putting out there with what throwing in the rant that I gave with what Dave said, and tying it into those reasons why you decided it was best to homeschool Nolan, and then just tell us about homeschooling in general, and then I'd like to bring Nolan in to talk about homeschooling. Don't worry about the time. We're going to be up against a hard break here in about 10 minutes. We're going to run late. You guys got plenty of time, and we'll mix everything together. So with that, Kim, go right ahead.
Okay. I had wanted to homeschool when he was born, but I could not because I had to go back to work. Starting in middle school, and he was in a private Christian school, but starting in middle school, there started to be a big problem with the ADHD, and they were stereotyping him because they had diagnosed him with ADD, saying he was not focused. And that started in kindergarten. Well, they started teaching this year, ninth grade, more not out of the textbooks, and the curriculum was also a very good curriculum, but the Common Core standards were starting to creep in. And I started homeschooling because I could not take the indoctrination that some of the teachers were already starting to enforce on the students in a Christian school. It's not even public school now. It's all across. And they're trying to implement it also in homeschooling. And it does roll into the Islam because they're and everything else and the Muslim issues we're facing today. They're trying to, one of the biggest thoughts, I mean, things now, is the privacy. They're going to start data mining, which they're going to try to get hair samples, eye color, everything from children, and try to find out what time they go home, what time they go to school, income level. They're going to start asking all these kids. And there are 44 states right now that have implemented Common Core standards in their school. In public school. In North Carolina, where we are, they already have. And we are fighting it really, really hard right now.
Well, Kim, don't you notice an ironic thread here, getting the information? I mean, and people may think, well, how are you tying the IRS to Common Core or the, together? But they were doing the exact same thing. It's information mining, and there's a reason for that.
Exactly.
Go ahead. I just had to.
I'm sorry. Yeah, they want to know your religious affiliation, your mother's maiden name. They're trying to get all of this out of the children. So,
well, can I play devil's advocate for a little bit?
Yeah.
Because I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, okay, Common Core. You know, I keep hearing the buzz terms. I looked it up. I researched a little bit of it.
Well, and Bing, it's affecting Tennessee too, bro.
Well, I understand that. Look, dude, you ain't got to tell me about the Muslims over here in Murfreesboro, and you ain't got to tell me about the Mexicans over here in Tennessee either, in my area especially. Nursery capital of the world. I mean, we're inundated with them. But what I'm trying to understand, okay, and the people that want to put out the facts and the factual basis on Common Core and what is bad about it, I'm having a hard time with them trying to tell me what exactly it is. Can you nail it down somehow? You know, I mean, what is it? Is it a UN plot? Okay, where does this come from? You know, what exactly is wrong with it? Data mining, we've got data mining on Facebook. You go on Facebook every day and you're getting your data mined. I mean, you know, people, what I'm trying to, I guess, figure out is that there's people out there that have a good explanation or a good reason for why this is not good. But then you got people in Mississippi that are saying, well, their test scores are doing great. So is somebody fudging something?
Kim, if you can, go ahead and you take it first, and then I'm going to follow up with you on that.
Okay. I'll send you guys some information too. But what they are trying to do in grades 3 through 8 right now, on the test, the standardized test, they're leaving out grammar. They're trying, basically, they're dumbing down the kids and brainwashing them. The math standards are being, you know, they're not by the state of North Carolina. I'm talking about Carolina at this point, but it's pretty much the board of any state that will implement that into their system. But it's very scary. The hips are not. Not everything has been omitted from the history books that should be taught in history, math, grammar. I mean, I've looked at some of the tests and the papers that they've given kids, they brought home, and it's completely brainwashing, and they're not even using the proper grammar like two, and they're putting in political stuff into the paperwork instead of like an English literature page or whatever. Or a regular grammar. They're using political papers for the kids to read. So it's forcing them to read something that's actually false about our government. So that's very scary.
Well,
so
and
no matter what you teach at home, they're brainwashing. And you know, peer pressure takes over what a lot of time, most of the time actually, what is taught at home, no matter what job you do at home.
Kim, you might be able to help me with this, knowing more about Common Core than I do. I will speak on behalf of C-Scope, which is the little brother to Common Core.
Right.
Being the kind of to answer your question, I don't know. You know, the curriculum itself may not be a bad curriculum if implemented properly and the politics of it was taken out. I'm just going to give you a few examples. C-Scope in Texas, and I think that Common Core is similar. It's a digital curriculum. Since we are moving away from textbooks, it's a digital curriculum. And whereas our kids used to come home with textbooks, and our teachers, by law, by constitution here in Texas, are required to tell us what the curriculum is, with C-Scope, teachers were forced to sign a letter of non-disclosure to not share what the curriculum being taught our children is. Now, it fell outside of the law because it was digital. Our law was written towards textbooks. Now, we've rectified that here in Texas, and we're cracking down. In fact, many of the school districts are ditching the C-Scope curriculum. And just for the sake of conversation moving forward in this, I'm going to refer to it as Common Core, but when I'm speaking of C-Scope. But some of the curriculum lessons within Common Core, we had some incidents down in Lumberton, Texas. Now, you can't get more Cajun in Texas than Lumberton. I mean, that's on the Sabine River. That is you know, Texas geographically is kind of a hodgepodge of five different kinds of Texans. In Lumberton, Texas, it's very southern, very old South mentality, and it tends to be conservative. So we were all very shocked by this when we had a teacher down there in Lumberton that in an effort to teach the children critical thinking skills. Now, this was the guise of the curriculum, critical thinking, okay? So in order to teach that critical thinking, what they did is they had our young girls put on burqas and see how it felt to walk in a Muslim's shoes. Some other examples of critical thinking were to put yourself in the shoes of King George when the Tea Party happened in Boston. Now, what is the effect there? Okay, I understand the critical thinking. I get that. But did they use, say, the war between the states as a critical thinking exercise? Take a look at it. And look, not that I'm condoning slavery, because I'm by no means am I condoning slavery. But they didn't use that critical thinking set. Well, put yourself in the mindset of a Southerner. We were wrong. I want to stipulate we were wrong. But I'm using that as an example. The example they used was critical thinking. Put yourself in the place of King George. What would you have thought about the Tea Party? Now, what are they doing? They're putting would you have thought if you were King George that these were terrorists? What they've done in one exercise, one curriculum, is to put the word Tea Party and the word terrorist in the same curriculum. Kim, can you elaborate on that? Or Dave, maybe you can speak to that.
In reference to the Common Core?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know, I don't claim to know a whole lot about it. There was a seminar not long ago that in Tennessee, about 750 people attended. I've seen some of the material from that. I wasn't able to actually go to it. Here's what I understand about Common Core, and I think there are some misunderstandings. Right now, Common Core, at least in Tennessee, deals with English and math. Now, I have a friend who's a teacher who does not agree with Common Core, and he showed me some of the material. And it's kind of set up to where they could – I didn't see the extreme example that you showed there, for instance, with the whole burqa episode. But you could see where they were using text dealing with, let's say, the environment. And they can do that. Now, they're already doing that. The whole textbook thing is an issue, Common Core or no Common Core. What I understand about Common Core as far as how it was actually created was the Governors Association and other groups supposedly got together and created this thing that was internationally approved with input from, you know, the most successful countries in the world in terms of teaching their students math and English. And that is supposedly what they put together. Now, I've heard other reports that, well, if that's what they intended, they failed miserably. I don't know. But it's very easy to see how when you get away from reading classics and start reading political documents, when you start reading government memorandum, that it could be very easily, I would say, if not brainwashing, definitely putting something that's very biased in front of kids who are impressionable and don't have any way of knowing. So if you're teaching them, math, but you use examples from, let's say, things going on between Israel and Palestine, and you interject that into a word problem, I could see where that would be a problem. And I've heard that those type of things have happened. And also, as I understand it, even though it was not created by the federal government, the funding in Tennessee, the governor signed on for Race to the Top money before they knew what was in Common Core. Well, now Common Core, even though it was not federally created, if you want the money, you have to implement the Common Core. Now, Common Core is not curriculum. It's standards. But if you create a standard and then you suggest curriculum, which is what they are going to do, do you think that all those different boards of education are not to decide, well, we probably need to adapt the curriculum that that these experts tell us will help us to meet the standard? So even though they're not developing it, I mean, even though they're not necessarily mandating it, they're setting it up to where the curriculum that they want will be imposed. It will look as if it was a decision of the state and the individual county boards, but it will really be state colluding with certain individuals that created this product, and they're guiding them towards it because of the funding. And I hope I know that was a little bit wordy, and I might have been kind of scattered, but I hope I got my point across.
No, you did very well. You did very well.
That was
because
fine.
In Texas, C-SCOPE is not only a curriculum, but it is to, quote-unquote, improve the standards. We're up against the hard break here, Bing. Let's just get in one commercial, come in out of that. I had a great song picked for today for coming out of our hard break, but I'm not going to do it because I want to get back. I want to jump right back into this, Bing. When we come out of this break, Kim, let's talk about the standards, because I would venture to say that it's the standards of the public school system that caused you to take the route that you took with homeschooling. And then we'll bring Nolan in and get his thoughts about homeschooling, whether or not he's getting a better education at home versus at school, and so on and so forth. So we'll be right back.
Are you tired of your hard-earned money going to support liberal and progressive enterprises? I know I am. That's why I shop at thethirdlantern.com. This conservative marketplace ensures that your money is well spent and supports conservative entrepreneurs dedicated to making their products here in America. Look, I'm a business owner. I know how hard it can be to get your product out there. Get on his vendors list, and it will help your sales. I have had his barbecue sauce. It is amazing. Check out the website. TheThirdLantern.com. That's the number three, R-D, lantern.com. Send your liberal friends there and tell them Higginresh sent you. TheThirdLantern.com. Put your money where your ideology is.
I don't think it should be talked about.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
I will. It
definitely
is.
Live from Patriot Studios, this is Soldiers of Patriotism with your hosts, Uncle Bing and Michael B.
trip.
And this is Soldiers of Patriotism on Sunday, May the 19th. It is 5 minutes after the top of the hour. We're going to forego the soft break here in about 10 minutes because we've got Kim Parrott on along with her son Nolan as well as Dave Vance. I am Michael B. along with my brother Uncle Bing. And we're talking a little bit of everything today, but it all ties together, folks. It really does. You may be wondering, how are we going to tie a little bow around this? But, you know, we've got an IRS that's out of control. It's data mining. It's requiring of people to tell them how you believe religious-wise, who you voted for, who you've donated money to, in order to get your 501(c) for your Tea Party. We've got a Common Core and a C-Scope curriculum here in Texas and in the other 49 that, as Kim just told us, is data mining. They want to know how you believe, what you're teaching, or, you know, teaching your children things that you may or may not agree with. So we've asked Kim and Nolan to join us today to talk a little bit about homeschooling and why. And Kim's been telling us a little bit about Common Core, which ties in very nicely with what Dave was talking about on the Step Right Up segment with the Muslim infiltration. Now, we do know, you can Google, I don't have time to go in and find links. I wasn't prepared for that today. I do apologize. But it's all there. You can find it on the internet from some very prominent folks. One of them from the Daily Caller. What's that lady's name? I don't have it right off the top of my head, but she's been doing a lot of that. Ginger Russell out of Texas. Google her. You can find a lot of information on her as far as C-Scope is concerned, which again is basically Common Core. Now, Kim, you know. There's aside from the curriculum of Common Core that's infiltrated North Carolina and your decision to take Nolan home. Now, what grade did you do this in, Kim?
Ninth grade.
So you decided to bring you and Nolan made a conscious decision that the curriculum that Nolan was being taught at school was not conducive with the foundation that you wanted to put underneath Nolan. You brought him home. You and your husband decided to bite the bullet, make that choice and make the sacrifices to give to your child the kind of education that you wanted them to have because you didn't agree with the standards or the curriculum. Tell us, how did it go from there? Tell us a little bit about that. And then, Nolan, I want you to jump in, and I want you to tell us what grade are you in now, Nolan?
Ninth.
Still in the ninth. Okay. About fixing to go into the 10th grade. Are you about to get your driver's license there, young man?
Yes, sir.
Mama going to let you do that,
huh? Close to it.
All right. Well, you know, with that driver's license comes a lot of responsibility, and I have no doubt that your mom hasn't put the foundation of responsibility underneath you. But, Kim, go ahead. Tell us, elaborate a little bit more on your decision, and then let's bring Nolan in here to talk about it.
Well, first of all, I am divorced. I'm not married. So I had to go back to work, and I cannot homeschool him. Well, when he turned 14, he's old enough to stay at home by himself. And pretty much in high school, you don't really have to supervise. I make up the lesson plans, and he does it all himself from the books I bought and from the internet. And we live on private property, so it's safe to leave him here. And now I'm also not working. I was laid off in December. So it all fell into place together. I was only working part-time basically anyway. I brought him home because I was very stressed. He was very stressed, not only with what was being taught, but what was not being taught and how they were treating him. More public school, more liberal students and liberal teaching was coming in. I never really looked. The textbooks had always been great up until this year, and he can tell you exactly a little bit of what he was being faced with every day. And one incident where they were talking about presidents, and he and another student got into a debate, not an argument, but just a debate, when he was told pretty much that he could not say whatever it was he was saying. And that's one of the reasons I just said, okay, this is not going to work. He is in ninth grade. He is not the typical kid. And this had a way to work, and he hated school. And now he's learning where he was not learning. Even when I was having him tutored in algebra, and he was working ahead of what was being taught and acing it, he would go to school and fail the test. And because he was diagnosed her, whoever, with ADD, they wouldn't give them a chance. And then they also, they stereotype and put those kids on the back burner, so to speak. So no one can tell you a little bit of what happened, and it's just everything led up to that.
Well, Nolan, jump in here and back your mom up, Nolan. Now, and first, I just want to let you know, as a fellow ADD person, look, I don't have enough patience to sit in the bathroom long enough for one go around. So, I mean, I understand ADD, and I know that's a crude analogy, but it's the analogy that best fit. I just don't have that. I don't have that kind of attention span. So I'm right there with you, brother. And I had a hard time in school too. Funny thing about it, Nolan, went in the service, got out of the service with my GI Bill and went back to school, to college, to further my education. The funny thing about it is I didn't have to buy very many textbooks. I could just sit in class and take notes and made straight A's. I would venture to say you're probably in the same boat, but there's something you need to know about being ADD. You know, ADD folks are either geniuses or they're in jail. It's one or the other. So go ahead, jump in here and back your mom up. Tell us how this homeschooling experiment or exercise has worked for you. I would take it to believe that you must be responsible enough if your mom's leaving you at home with a curriculum and saying, son, this is what you need to do. And, of course, knowing Kim well enough, I trust that she's made the right decision. So tell us how it's working out for you.
And also, Michael, if I can interject real quick, because I heard he was starting up his own business. I don't know
yes.
if that's true, but,
yeah,
but
I know.
Let, well, fill us in on that, man. And you know, go ahead, Nolan.
Sure. Well, homeschooling's going great. But another thing I wanted to talk about was I believe, and my mother believes, that I was falsely diagnosed with ADD. I don't have any problems focusing whatsoever. It was the reason that they took me to the doctor was because my kindergarten teacher, who is so ignorant, told my mother that I had a problem focusing because I was daydreaming in class. That's what kids do, especially kindergartners. Okay? So, I mean, that, I think I was falsely diagnosed, in my opinion. So I'm off the medication now, thank God, because that was some bad stuff. But back to homeschooling. Homeschooling is going great. The reason, the collective reasoning behind going to homeschooling was a number of things. Every day, well, the first day of school, we were told to leave our textbooks in our locker, and the teachers would make up their own sort of curriculum and teach us how they wanted us to be taught.
Well, that's red flag number one.
Yes, and especially seeing that my history teacher had a Muslim prayer rug in the middle of his floor with an AK-47 and an RPG on it. So you don't really want those kind of people teaching you their own curriculum. At least I didn't.
No.
So I got into homeschool, and it's going great. In fact, I'm starting my own business now, which is also going great. Got some good seals. Got Ben Smith and Carl Higby, who both want to get in on it, are trying to help me with it, and they want to teach and do things of that nature with it. So
now elaborate on that a little bit, because you know we know both Ben from your mom, and Carl is a good friend of ours.
Yes, the business is called TSOG. It stands for Tactical Special Operations Group. I'm trying to get the last letter changed to T for training. So basically, what it is, it's especially having Navy SEALs backing you up, it's going to be a lot easier to teach these people a tactical experience, try to get them trained because a lot of people want to do that kind of thing. And it helps them get the training that they need for, say, somebody wants to go into the military. It's going to help them a little bit. Also, some people just want to learn basic stuff, basic pistol. That's what we're also going to be offering that. So it covers all spectrums of shooting and tactical courses and things of that nature. So that's basically what it's about.
What is your ambition in life, Nolan? What do you want to do when you graduate?
Well, this business is basically what I want to do. I want to run my own business because that's pretty much the only way you can make it in this country right now. That's pretty much it. I wanted to go into the military, but the way that Obama has messed that up and with all the military cutbacks and all this other stuff, I'm leaning towards not going into the military, which is very sad for me because that's what I've always wanted to do, is serve my country. But I figure I could serve my country here at home better than I can over there. So,
well, my young friend, there's a lot of ways to serve your country. But insofar as wearing the uniform of your country, just keep in mind you're in the ninth grade. By the time you're graduated from high school, we'll have a new president, and I doubt seriously that it'll be Hillary Clinton. And I feel pretty certain that it will probably be someone that's more pro-military, and the way you feel now will not, in which you're absolutely right to feel this way, will be different then. That being said, building your own business and producing and being a producer in this country is a good way to serve your country as well. Bing, you want to elaborate on that?
Yeah, I'd like to say, too, that and just to read something here, because we do have to pay some bills and so on, but conservatives respect pioneers, and that's what he's doing. He's a pioneer in the business field. And they respect pioneers like Brendan Ward, who's been with ConservativeNationRadio.org since the very beginning, Michelle Malkin, Laura Ingraham, Ann Coulter, and Monica Crowley Have Nothing on Women Patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing. That's Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central. Okay, and that's the place to hear from real women, all right, real women who are real patriots. So let your voice be heard instantly. Conservative guys are welcome too. Okay, they like guys on their show. I mean, you don't have to feel intimidated or anything. But Women Patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing on ConservativeNationRadio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives.
And with that, I think that's my cue for us to pay a little bit of bills. Dave, Kim, Nolan, you guys stand by. We're going to come out of this break and. We've got a stacked board here. We need to bring in some folks. We've got John Stevens on hold, who's our next guest. We're going to bring him in. And
Jim
I'd like
Allen.
To tie. Yeah,
we've got someone from
4th Congressional
from
District.
Yeah, we've got
Jim Allen on here,
Georgia,
and I want to thank him for
mad.
Holding. Let's pay these bills real quick, and then we're going to tie all this together.
All right, bro.
It takes 12 years to create a graduate. It takes about the same time to create a dropout. The difference between a child becoming one or the other could be you. Studies prove that reading to a child regularly dramatically improves reading skills. And kids who read well by third grade are four times as likely to graduate. So United Way is calling for 1 million volunteers over the next 3 years. We're asking you to step up, make a pledge, tutor a child who needs help, mentor a kid who needs someone on their side, volunteer to read to children, make a difference. Because when a child advances, we all advance. Entire communities improve. The path to success or failure starts long before graduation day. And the difference between a graduate and a dropout could be you. Be a reader, tutor, or mentor. Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Take the pledge. Go to liveunited.org now. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared.
Prevent your child's next asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. Visit www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many. Brought to you by the EPA and the Ad Council.
This is Soldiers of Patriotism with Michael B. and Uncle Bing on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Mississippi Queen, this is Soldiers of Patriotism. It is about 20 minutes after the top of the hour. We've got myself and Uncle Bing from Patriot Studios, Command Centers, Tennessee and Texas, respectively, along with our guests Nolan and Kim Parrott. Nolan being the son of Kim Parrott. Kim has made the sacrifice to homeschool her son, Nolan, who sounds like a bright and very intelligent young man. Nolan, real quickly, before we bring in some callers here to ask questions and bring in John Stevens to kind of bring in the scandals of this week, which I really want to ask both of you guys to stick around, not only to answer questions about the homeschooling aspect of what y'all have been talking about, but to interject, because Nolan, I really, as a ninth grader, I really want your opinions on how you see what's happened over the last 2 weeks. And as well as, I don't know if you're on Facebook or not. I don't know if your mom allows you to be. I know she is because we're good friends on Facebook. But if she is, I want to encourage you to friend me and Bing and Scott Whitting and Melissa Bonahan and Teresa Brusky and our whole circle of friends, because, you know, just to kind of vaguely borrow a phrase from Hillary Clinton about it taking a village. You know, you and your mom got to do what's right for you, and y'all are apparently doing that. But your mom's got a lot of good friends, and we're here for you, buddy. And we all have little areas where we might be of use. I'm a history buff. I might be of use to you in that area. Bing's an engineer. Scott's a graphics guy. We're all radio people, you know. So we're there for you as well in helping your mom the best we can and how she will allow us to help you with your homeschooling, because we want you to be a success. You're the future of our country, young man, and we do appreciate what you're doing and joining us here today, as well as you, Sister Kim. But I want to go ahead real quick here, because we do have a congressional candidate, Jim Allen, on the line. Jim, come on in here. Well, how are you doing today?
Just fine. Thank you so much. I hope everybody's well.
Hello, well, we're Jim. Doing well.
I just wanted to say, I was going to talk about something else, as I had mentioned earlier, but this is
That's
very
That's fine. Go right ahead.
You know, we're talking about Common Core. We're talking about that other program in Texas and how it relates to Islam. And I, not to debate, but I want to throw a different way of thinking in here. We've got communist documents that are 60 to 80 years old that have spelled all this out many years ago. 100% scientific evidence. And what's going on here is an equality thing. So when we mention Islam, if it was a Nazi problem right now and we were to mention that, what's happening is they are trying to get us to do that because everything is based in equality. Well, it's based in first tolerance, and then tolerance moves to equality, and that's what they're wanting. Equality is communism, if you think about it. There's a lot of writings that I would suggest everybody to look up. I'm just fascinated and flabbergasted that this is not constantly in mainstream news, which is the breakdown of the family and the takeover of the education system. As far as Common Core goes, and I will be brief, I know there's not that much time. I think Kim has actually on Facebook shown me some things that were pointing to equality and they're okay and minority issues and things like that. All that stuff sounds wonderful, but it is designed for tolerance, which leads to equality, which leads to communism, everybody being equal. And that seems to me, through these older documents that I've looked at, what is transpiring. Stalin himself said in communications with the Communist Party of America that we now have in documented history that use the liberal idiots. They're very well-meaning and will take advantage of all this freedom and love and peace that they like. And even if you go back and you look at some of the things Hitler was saying, he was detesting those things. So we know that those things exist. But at any rate, I think a lot of these things are diversionary. We've got a Islamic problem right now. Well, let's center in on them and show tolerance, 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 but yet they're unwilling to give it. And I'll go one step further here. This won't take but a minute. You can pick something like even Section 8, federal housing and housing authorities that are in counties and towns. Isn't it amazing that Daddy can't be there? Then if you go back, and here's the deal. If you're married or Dad lives in the house, we can't help you, and that's the deal. That's the way the whole system is set up, is to promote through helping you, but Dad can't be there. Or if it's flipped, Mom can't be there, but the family's got to be separated in some way, shape, or form to receive these benefits. And if you look into that, you go back to the documents, and they spelled this out, that if they broke the family down, weeded into education, and preached tolerance and equality, that would lead to their ultimate goals. Eventually, with the family breakups, now we're there. Families are broke up everywhere. That takes God out of the equation. Then the schools lay totally open, and that's what's happening right now. And after those things are concluded, then there is a takeover. And I happen to be one that does not believe that it was to Obama to do that, that he would take the supreme takeover. But I do believe everything has been set up under his administration to lay those grounds out. And I believe there will be a tremendous push in 2016 to elect another Democrat. But I do not believe it will be Hillary Clinton, because as liberal as we think she is, she's not over there far enough on that political spectrum in communistic fashion. So, anyway, that's my little take there, and I would suggest that people maybe try to look back at these documents. It's just mind-boggling evidence as to what's going on here.
Now Mr. Ellen, I mean, see what he just said, Michael, that is what I can sink my teeth into, because that is – that is something that you can act, it's like bread. You can actually get your teeth onto that, okay? And I think that the people that are articulating the message in some cases don't, I don't know if they're just not articulating the message right, or they're maybe misguiding it or something like that. But what he said here, okay, Mr. Allen, thank you so much. And please, sir, you're in Georgia, right?
No, I'm up a few miles down the road from Kim. I believe Kim's in the 13th district, and I'm
you're in the fourth.
Running and already announced in the 4th district. And just to let Kim know, my team is setting up, and Kim, I have a team now, praise the Lord. They are setting up an event in Raleigh, and we're going to spit all this out, and we're going to spit it out at a park right off of Martin Luther King Boulevard, and we're going to go right to the source of the people that are being drove apart and exterminated through abortion and so on. We're going to hand out facts, and Ken might need to know. Well, go ahead.
No, I was not to interrupt. I'm sorry. I was going to say that is what people need. Okay, they need facts. I think when we go about, look, we've had this since 1963 or 62, was it when it was introduced into the congressional record, the actual communist manifesto in this country, introduced into our record, and pretty much everything's come true. But what they teach in the public schools and so on from year to year has changed dramatically. Just forget Common Core for right now, okay? I'm talking about years ago. We used to have to learn how to use an abacus. We used to have to learn how to use, we had shop class. We had auto mechanics. We got kids graduating public school right now that cannot balance a checkbook. They can't balance a checkbook.
We are being
in a lot of cases,
down.
but what you were being dumbed down. So okay, that so what we need to go. I think what we need to do, okay, and I guess we've had a long discussion over this last night, But I think what we need to do is articulate this message a little bit better. In other words, we need hardcore facts. We need to say, okay, this is what they're doing. Okay, instead of going and just saying, well, it's the UN coming in. Well, you know, people don't really care. They get their news from Yahoo. They get their news from MSNBC and you know, Bill Maher's and stuff like that. They get that news from other places. And maybe that's not the people that we can reach. Some people I don't think we can reach, but we do have a guest here, Michael. But what I'm thinking is that I think we need to articulate this message a little bit more concise, a little bit more targeted.
Yeah.
And what he said though was that, look, there's a lot of people that I tolerate, but I don't have to accept them. I don't. There's nothing. There's nobody pointing a gun at me saying I got to accept this. And it's time that we, as people, sat there and said, we're not going to accept it anymore.
Just real quickly, if you're in Oklahoma City, find cover, because there's a tornado on the ground now. I'm looking at it, and it's a big one. But you're absolutely right. We do got John Stevens on here. We need to pull him in. I've got his mic opened up, Bing. But, you know, Kim, if Kim, you know, and with all due respect, Mr. Allen, I'm not familiar with you, but if my buddy Kim is supporting you, then I'm supporting you from here in Texas.
Correct.
We're supporting Jim Carr as well in Tennessee's fourth. And I do want to let you know, and I'm supporting, not only am I supporting and working for Attorney General Greg Abbott here in the Great Lone Star State, but we've got here in our senatorial district 10, a lib, the only one up here in North Texas that we're going to put out this year by the name of Wendy Davis, with a very good friend of mine that worked very hard on Senator Cruz's campaign, Connie Burton. And that's ConnieBurton.com for you folks in Texas that are listening. I suggest, you know, politics is local, but what happens in North Carolina's 4th with Jim Allen, or Tennessee's 4th with Joe Carr, or Debbie Wasserman Schultz's District 20 in Florida, all of these, this affects me here in District 12 here in Texas. So we've all got, you know, we can't only just fight for our folks that represent us in our state homes, our houses, or in D.C. We've got to help like-minded individuals. And we've got some breaking news, actually. I think either Teresa or Barbara Buffing has just posted on our Facebook page. Tuesday, we've got at all IRS offices, Tea Party protests are being scheduled as of right now. This is going to be a hot year for us in 2014, Jim, and we, people like King and I and Kim and our circle of friends need to get behind, no matter what state we're in, behind people that are going to go to Washington with my values at heart.
Correct. And like Joe Carr said, you know, on our show, Michael, he said, look, I don't just represent the people of Tennessee, I represent America. And that's the attitude that we need up there. We need more Ted Cruz's. We need more Rand Paul's and that kind of people up there. So, yes, Mr. Allen, if that's what you're about, then I truly support you too.
And where I was going with that being is we need to get with Jim Allen and Joe Carr and Connie Burton and these folks that Conservative Nation Radio and our listeners like Kim who are going to be supporting, we need to help our supporters support the folks they're supporting, and we need to get some PSAs cut and on the air on every single show on Conservative Nation Radio.
Oh, correct.
Well, Kim, if I can say something quickly, Kim seems to guide half of us in the center part of the state here. I don't know whether she realizes that or not, because she's picking up. She's doing exactly what I think she should be doing. She's picking up on things that nobody's looking at, and that's what I'm trying to do at any rate. But God bless her, because she's a 24-hour-a-day machine.
Oh, she's an info
trying
pusher.
To
she's
promote.
One of the best.
You bet.
Thank you, Kim.
Well, you're most certain. No, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Well, guys, hang tight. I'm going to leave the mics open. I've got John.
We need to
Bing,
get John
I've got
Stevens
John on
here. We're going to have to have. of Monday's show or something, man. We ain't got nothing going on, Michael. I don't know if you want to do it, but I'll do it. Well, I'll get him on too. But.
I can do it. Well, I've got that little problem with Quinn on Monday nights where I'm at the therapist. Oh. Let's bring it on in here. John, jump in here. Take whatever time you need. We're going to forego the soft break. I just need 5 minutes at the end. So we've got us about 20 minutes. Jump in here and let's talk about these scandals. And we've got a switchboard full of callers that I want to get in here and integrate into these calls. So let's get on with it, brother.
Yeah, Mr. John Stevens, the author of Sophistication of America.
Hey, thanks, guys. I've been really looking forward to this show very much.
I'm sorry we got you on late, Bubba. But we'll make it up to you, okay?
Oh, no worries. No worries at all. Hey, you know, the reason, the motivation for me writing this book, I started researching it in 2006, was because as a conservative Tea Party public school teacher, I've been frightened by the massive growth of our federal government and what it is doing to our nation. And so the whole premise of the book is to highlight historically and juxtapose that with what is happening with current events on how our Leviathan federal government is just intruding upon every aspect of our lives, in whether it be public schools, the IRS, the power of the EPA, you name it. And now they're even attacking free press with the AP, which is mind-boggling to me since the AP leans liberal. I don't know why they'd want to go after their own, but they foolishly did. And that should be a lesson, you know, to all news outlets, conservative or liberal. Again, your ox is going to be gored eventually, you know. So, and that's why I wrote this book, because the whole intent of it was to help educate low information Americans. You know, you have got to become aware of what is going on and be educated about what is happening in this nation. And that's why I'm kind of putting out an appeal for this wonderful radio network, Conservative Nation Radio, the congressmen that are running in their districts. I need everybody's help to get this word out. I've contacted various Tea Party groups, and I've been frustrated because I haven't heard back, whether it be TPN. It just seems like I think everybody is so busy, and I'm self-published, and I'm really trying to be on every radio station I can get on, working madly and hours after hours off of my computer. And I really just need, right down to people running for, whether it be on a state level or a national level, to help me get the word out that, you know, this is a book that can really enlighten people about the dangers of where we are. There's a professional video book trailer. I'll even give my email address out at this point. It's website. It's www.sissificationofamerica.com. That's all lowercase letters. And what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to be one, like a voice in the wilderness with a clarion call showing that we are in dire danger of our Constitution being thrashed, our Bill of Rights being thrashed, and we're seeing that being played out before our eyes, very much of what we saw during the Nixon years in the 1970s. And I remember, I've always been conservative, but I remember when I was in high school and all that broke, I was even appalled, you know, some 40-some years ago. And I see a replay of that happening right now with Barack Obama claiming innocence and the IRS getting into all this information and targeting churches, Billy Graham, Franklin Graham, and so forth, and just getting into our lives, Common Core. We're not very much into it in California. We don't even implement that until the year after next. But so this is all kind of new to us, but when I was teaching a liberal colleague of mine pulled me in because he knows I'm conservative, and he says, John, do you realize that, you know, in Sacramento with Common Core, they're going to be wanting to get all this information that this lady who is homeschooling her son, and I could relate to that because what's happening is alarming a lot of us out here, and I teach in a very conservative school district, so we have not seen this radical presentation of Islamic things in our curriculum or whatever, because many of the people, including the teachers, wouldn't tolerate it. You know, but so I feel for those of you out in the country that
are really experiencing that right now. But we are in dire trouble, and we need to elect congressmen and senators in Washington, D.C. in 2014. That's the biggest thing. We've got to educate, educate, educate. And I'm not talking about just in the classroom. I'm talking about through the media. The Koch brothers want to purchase nationwide newspapers, including the Los Angeles Times, which I hope they can pull off, so that we can start to get a handle on, you know, the communication that is going out to the American people. And we just need to realize, if we don't wake up, as John Wayne, a traditional American, would say, he would say, it's time to saddle up, we're burning daylight, you know, and we just all need to work together and support one another to get the word out.
Oh, absolutely,
oh,
John.
You know, and I sit here, Michael, and I look at all these people that we got online that have called our show, that all the people that are in our chat. I look at the people, our guests, and Jim Allen, you know, up there, and Padre, everybody, you know, we are actually, there's something unique about this, okay? There's something unique, because you don't get this on regular mainstream media. You don't get people sitting there, and you know, I might not agree with something that you say, or something that Dave says, or something that John says, but you know, you don't get this on regular media.
You don't.
Get a twinkle and a twitch from Chris Matthews, and you know, this is a funny thing too, John, author of Sissification, and it's actually Sissification of America blogspot. .com. You can get his book over there. You can get it over at Amazon. But I was sitting there going, thinking the other day, when you lost Chris Matthews, you lost the liberal left wing, in my opinion. And when Chris Matthews went off the other day on Obama, it was like, whoa, that's pretty cool.
Look,
I love
anytime
that.
Anytime you lose tingle up your leg, you've got a problem. And John, I was going to ask you about that. I mean, I'm of the opinion that was the straw that broke the camel. Whereas the media has fallen down on their job with every single other scandal, going back to Fast and Furious prior to this last election, the one that broke the camel's back was the AP. Because now they understand, okay, may not agree with the conservatives, but they're right. This administration will go after whomever it has to go after if they're perceived a threat. And
yeah,
anyone.
For the first time, CBS, NBC, Tom Brokaw are they're beginning to ask questions, which is what they should have been doing the past 4 years or 5 years anyhow. But now I still don't trust them, but at least I have to acknowledge the fact that they're beginning to ask questions that are more pointed, and I hope they continue to do so.
Well, and you know, and I hope this is all a lesson to Nolan, you know, because, and I want to get Nolan back in here in just a minute. We are running short on time, but you know,
I think we're going to go long, Michael.
If this press would have vetted this president in 07 and 08, he wouldn't have been elected. He wouldn't have survived his primary. Hillary would have been our president if she'd have won. This mainstream media failed the American public. It failed to vet this president and do what it is supposed to do to offset the kind of tyranny that we're now having to deal with and that they now are having to deal with.
And that's, I think, one of the reasons, too, why my book took it, the 2012 First Place Gold Award in E-Lit Awards in the category of history, because it's important that, you know, a lot of our people don't know about our history. You know, they Fox News sticks a microphone in a bunch of teenagers' faces in Malibu out here on the left coast and ask, what country did we fight a revolutionary war against? And 8 out of 10 can't even say England, for God's sake. And I'm thinking, you know, that's in part why I brought up some of the historical aspects, but then I definitely tie it in to what is occurring at this particular moment. But I'm putting this appeal out just in the sense that, you know, I need help, because since I'm self-published, you know, I don't have the financial backing and the power that Simon & Schuster and some of these other major publishers have, and maybe it'll be picked up. The book is going to be in New York City, both on Kindle and in the print, and there are going to be agents, literary agents, and publishers there, and who knows, I might get a call or I might get an email, which would be great, but I would love it. In addition to all these shows, I've been interviewed on Rusty Humphries, but I'd like to meet with Sean Hannity and Bill O'Reilly and get on and just lay the facts out and be questioned. And I need help from government officials. I'm friends with Tom DeLay and other people, but you know, I message them, I hear nothing back. And if we could get this word out, it's an award-winning book. It's a fantastic read. Anybody that has read it, including some of my liberal friends, I might add, said, you know, I agree with a lot of what you have to say. And it's about time somebody is taking the bull by the horns and being very direct about it.
Well,
now,
I tell you what, John.
You lay this book out great, on the footnotes and so on. I mean, you've got everything that you said in the book tied into, you know, everything's there. It's all factual. And
you said
your award. Tell us about your award you got.
Yeah, it took in. Ironically, I got the announcement from ELIT on April 19th, Patriot Day. The beginning of the Revolutionary War in Lexington and Concord, Massachusetts. I found that kind of a twist of fate that I would be notified of this award in the category of history, and so it took a gold place, first place award, and I'm really proud about that. But more than the award, I just want I want the word to get out. I want people to be educated about our history and why it's important, because the liberals hate our history. The secular progressives of this nation, and I blog about this on my website, they do not want our children to know about our history, because if they did, we would have millions more Tea Party conservatives out and about who are going to, like this young man who wants to join the military. Well, we need a president that is going to value the military so that he can have a job in the military. My daughter wants to become a Navy, join the Navy and be a JAG attorney. I don't know if that's going to be a possibility with the cutbacks going on. She graduates in 2 years. And I'm from Great Falls, Montana, where we have nuclear missiles, that are ready to and poised and ready to be fired to defend this country if we're ever attacked. And I've been reading reports where the Secretary of Defense and the Obama administration want to unilaterally disarm us and shut these missile sites down.
Can you hear me?
Hello?
Hang
on, Dave.
Oh, Michael opened up all the lines. You freaked me out.
Yeah, hang tight, Dave.
No, but John, okay. John, I've talked to you, man. You are not one to be fickle. You're not one there for yourself. You're trying to get this message out. And I tell you what, Michael, we got 6 shows that we do right now and possibly 7 here coming up. And I think that we need to get him on some of these other shows that we do. I mean, it might not be the Hannity thing and all that kind of stuff, but at least it's to get the word out, because this needs to be said. And his book needs to be read, The Sissification of America. And, John, if you got any other links that you want to give out, man, and I'll tell you what, whatever we can do to get to help you out, to get the message out to people that really, and in some cases I think that we're preaching to the choir in some instances, but I think other people will sit there and say, wow, this is a pretty good book, I want to pass
it
this along.
It can be purchased. Yeah, it can be purchased on Amazon.com, and then I know you have callers that want to come in, but I'll give the website one more time. It's www. And then it's all lowercase, sissificationofamerica.com. And getting it on Kindle or print and then spreading the word and telling friends and relatives, hey, this is a book, you need to buy it, you need to read it, you need to spread the word. That's how we do it. I love your show.
Well, thank you. I tell you what, we got some more shows coming up. But I tell you what, we got a radio show host here, Contending for Truth Radio, and he wants you on his show. So we'll hook you guys up. How's that?
Yeah.
And then we'll sit there and we'll get you, Barbara and Brenda, we can get you over there on their show too. That's what this is about. This is about networking and so on. But we opened up the phone lines, or Michael did anyway. So we got Laura in Georgia.
Are you there?
Yep, go ahead, Laura.
We're here.
I am fixing a bust. I've done the homeschool thing. I have my oldest is 22 and my youngest is 16, and I got a 21-year-old in the middle. And I cannot tell you how our education system has spiraled to the gutter and the difference in those 6 years of my oldest and my youngest going to school. And I had to pull my son out of school in the seventh grade, when he was going into the seventh grade, because they told me it was either meds or being left back. So I was like, see ya. So, and they don't teach anything. It is the dumbing down of America. And all you got to do is look at your kids' schoolwork and you can see it. So, Cam, I've been there, done that. But, yeah, everything y'all are talking about, I mean, from the homeschooling, I have two sons that are in the military. I have a brother who is diplomatic security in Baghdad. He was the bodyguard for the ambassador there. So, I mean, this whole thing, I think y'all are being too nice. I swear, I think we've had a coup. And it's been a long time in the coming. It did not start with Barack Obama. They just gave it to us to implement it all under him. And I think this IRS thing, the AP thing, it's just, look at me, we got you. We got you, and there's nothing y'all can do about it.
And Cam, you know what's funny is we fill out our census every year. And the same questions, you know.
I didn't know. I only put how many people lived in my house. I didn't answer one other question.
Yeah, I didn't either. I mean, I tried not to. You know, the woman came out, and she's like arguing with me. I was like, I don't got to answer you. I don't have to sit there and answer you about this. But, yeah, it's insane. And, look, the scandals just keep – when you start telling a lie, okay, one lie just builds upon another, and you can't cover up the other ones. And that's what I think we're seeing here.
You know what I think we're seeing? That we – I'm not saying we're brainwashed. I think that we have all grown up truly believing in the American way. Kim, are you there?
I am.
You saw what I put on your Facebook today? I believe that all of us that have grown up with traditional American values, it is in our hearts, it is in our soul, it's in our brain that we believe in the goodness, we believe in strength, we believe in our exceptionalism, we believe in the goodness of America, and we have, because this country has given us so much security, it's hard for us to wrap our heads around and our minds around the fact that through even as things as small as your local school board, that this craziness, this mentality has permeated quietly, and you know we kind of don't notice it, and we just say, wow, you know, really, you know, I don't really think like that, but we go on with our lives and everything. And this past 5 years have been, to me, a punch in the face.
Yeah, it's like a punch.
And I don't
just
think that we're ready to accept the fact that we literally, I can't tell you what flew all over me this morning was that it was irrelevant. That seems to be the word today from the Obama talking points. The IRS, it's irrelevant what they did. What he was doing while while the consulate was under the attack. It's irrelevant. The AP, it's irrelevant. No, it's not damn irrelevant.
No, it's
well,
not.
Guys,
and it didn't happen last year or something, okay?
Let me jump in here.
This is pretty easy.
We're down to the last 5 minutes of the show, so let me give out the phone number because we're going to go long.
Yeah, we're going to go long.
718-305-7176. If you want to hear the after show, I need you to call in now. I've got plenty of open lines. Just call in. We'll park you. You can listen to the rest of the show because we're going long today, folks. 718-305-7176. Bing, everybody that's on, we've all got hot mics. We got a lot. I've got other people I want to pull in here that's been sitting tight that I want to hear from. So we're going to go into record mode. But before we go into record mode, I just got to get in the end of the show here. I got one song that's dedicated to everybody that's listening that I want to play. Then we'll come out of that. We'll be in record mode and we'll go as long as we need to go, or until it's time for our team meeting tonight.
I'll stay all night, man. I ain't got nothing else to do.
Everybody hang tight.
I'm going for the long ball.
In fact, this is from my old buddy over there in Georgia, Ron Adcox. This is the Drive-By Truckers. And my friends, ain't nothing going to change.
Y'all hang tight with us.
S.O.P. 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 This has been Soldiers of Patriotism with Michael B. and Uncle Bing. If you've not called in yet, you've got about 60 seconds to do so for this extended version of Soldiers of Patriotism. We've got a full board, a lot of people on, and we're just going to have us some fun in private. So call in now if you want to be a part of the show. Thank you very much. We'll talk to all of you good folks next Sunday. Brother Bing, I'm going to start opening up the lines here, and let's get everybody back on. I think we had Laura. Laura, thank you. Hang on, let me get you back on here. I got to find you. Where'd she go? There she is. Let me get Laura back on
here.
Okay.
I'm here.
Go ahead, Laura.
I'm had a queue.
With what you got to say, I'm opening up the mic. Y'all just ignore the little British lady if y'all can hear her. Bing and I can hear. She's in our ears. She tells us how long till countdown, but we're going into record mode. We've got a lot of folks on here. If I start getting a lot of feedback, I'll mute mics and then pull you in when I want to try to get you on. But go ahead, Laura.
Hello?
Yeah, you're on, Laura.
Oh, I'm the one that's, I swear, I just, you know, this whole week. Hello?
You're there.
All I'm going to say is, you know, we're in our fifth year of Obama. A lot of people don't like him. I mean, I'm sorry. I believe the election was stolen. I believe that, you know, everyone can tell me I got a tinfoil hat on. I don't mind. You know, you what kind of press do we have at the 100-day mark after a second term says, oh, president's approval rating down where it was just before the election? Hello? You know, we had reports of people putting in for Romney, and, you know, Obama's name was being put in there. I mean, computers are only good as the person who programs them. So,
well, you know
I
just... You know what, too, is that I guess we have to tolerate Obama, but we don't have to accept him.
We don't have to, but my problem...
As Mr. Allen said.
We tried. Look at this scandal with this IRS. Over 500 that we know of organizations trying to do it the right way through proper channels, doing it legally, the Facebook things, that, you know, networking and everything else, staying within the boundaries that we have set up, and look what happened. They stole it. They purposely stifled these people for political reasons. We don't have friends in D.C. except for maybe five. And look what we're up against. This is enraging to me.
I'd like to say something on this, if I could.
Yeah, and when you come in, please identify yourself.
This is Dave. If all three of these scandals blow over and this guy remains in office, which I'm afraid is probably what's going to happen, there is no political recourse. You cannot accomplish enough in 14 to hold them accountable.
You can't. You cannot. This is what I'm saying. If you look around the people just around you, okay? So say you as an individual and you know 20 people. Do you know 20 people that are like, well, it's not too bad. Yeah, we kind of, you know, it's not too bad.
So, yellow dogs, and not even
you
all
know,
them.
No one has been saying that. From the day he was elected, I was
John?
In the doctor's office, and an old man was screaming at the TV in the doctor's office.
Go ahead, John.
Go ahead, John.
One thing that can help us, Dave, and all the people listening, though, because of what is occurring with these scandals and this just criminal application of the IRS and attack on Americans, is if we can strengthen our numbers in the House with good conservative Tea Party folks, and take the Senate and take control
of
the
Senate.
We need the
Senate.
If we can control Congress and the Senate, the House and the Senate, then we can at least frustrate and thwart Obama's agenda. And we could even get Obamacare overturned. But so that's where I kind of see a short-term strategy between now and then. We have got to take the Senate, strengthen our numbers in the House.
But what do you do with the ideology? What do you do? Like you were talking, you know, you being a teacher. This is Steve, right?
John.
John, sorry.
John Stevens.
I have a cousin who's a teacher in New York City. She teaches in New York City public schools. She has been graduated, went on to be a teacher, idealistic, thought she changed the world. All I got to do, one child at a time. Do you realize she is an English teacher? She teaches literature. She is not allowed to use a book. She is so disgusted. She said, Laura, and I believe her because I have other friends that are teachers, if they step outside of the boundaries, if they step outside of the curriculum that they are ordered to teach, they are like, they are written so hard. She said that everything, the stories that she told me would curl your hair.
Well, that's
about how her hands are tied.
Yeah. This is why we need to have not only vouchers, but school choice. I address this throughout the book, and especially in Chapter 7, how we have to get back to what the Constitution says. And it is up to the states and the people, i.e. the parents through homeschooling, to educate their children. Ever since education was federalized under Johnson in 1965, our public education system has gone downhill. But it's not mutually exclusive. I mean, the reason why our school system and our schools, many of them are going downhill, is because America itself is in serious decline. And you know, so that's part of the problem right there.
Do you know, I have a friend of mine, my best friend teaches special ed in the eighth grade. And she was just telling me on Friday how she had a long day at school, didn't get out of school till after five because she had to have a meeting for an eighth grader that was going on to the ninth grade and be moving up to the high school. And she said, well, you know, in passing, she said, well, you know, we had to sit there with the lawyers and everything. And I said, wait a second. You have lawyers in your meeting because a kid was moving on to the ninth grade? Are you kidding me? And she said,
that's
well, this mom has a child that he has ADHD. So she said, basically, he doesn't have ADHD. He's just a brat. And so because they've had tried to remove him from school several times because he's a bully and everything else, since he's labeled with his disability, she brings a lawyer with her to any kind of school thing. Like, you know, whoever thought of taking a lawyer with you to a school, you know, a progress meeting with your with a teacher, you know, but apparently this woman travels with a lawyer. So
this
then the school has to bring lawyers in to sit with
well,
her
she,
lawyer.
She's part of the problem. She's not part of the solution, in my opinion.
Let's bring in. We've got some other callers.
We've got Brother Ron, Kurt.
Yeah, and someone at 423. Let's bring in Kurt. Ron, you're on deck.
Hey, Michael.
Hey, brother.
I'm sitting here wondering, that lady that's running the lawyer to school, I'm wondering if that's Justin Phillips. What do you think?
That's in Georgia.
It might be, man. Who knows? You know,
yeah.
He's screwing everybody else. So,
hey, I want to call your attention back to something, you know, and here I'm going to go, I'm going to jump off the deep end again and get called all kinds of bigot, racist, whatever, you know. But the list of names that Dave Vance was reading off, I don't remember which group it was, they were reading a bunch of standard Islamic Arab names. But the last one on this list, and I've seen it before, the name was Patel, P-A-T-E-L. Hey, folks,
yeah,
that is not an Arab. That is an Indian name. Right here
right.
in Henry County, we've got a truckload of Patels.
Go to Wilbur.
They're not just here. Yeah, I mean, they named themselves that from the town or the province they were born in. Anyway, that is an Indian, folks. Do you know how many Indians have turned Muslim? Everybody considers, not everybody, most everybody considers an Indians, you know, to be fairly benign. Watch it a year back. When the doo-doo hits the fan, so a lot of those guys are going to, they're not going to stand up for America, the country that gave them a place to come and do business and help them in ways that we probably don't know we know about even.
They're not.
You know.
They're not. Are you in Georgia?
No, I'm in Tennessee. Huh?
Okay.
Yeah,
my oldest son, we're in Georgia. And I lived in a town before I lived in the town I live in now, which was very close to Emory University. And when I first moved to that town and was raising my kids there, it was like raising Mayberry. We didn't lock our doors. I mean, we'd go away for a week, and no one ever shared keys. I'd be like, can you go over and let my dog out? And we're like, all right, you know. And slowly, our town started changing drastically, and it was a huge influx. And because we were so close to Emory, there was a lot of foreigners. people that came because they worked at the Emory and the CDC. And I can remember my son being in the eighth grade and being at a junior high basketball game, and somebody, one of their friends was singing the national anthem. And the kids behind them all were probably last name Patel, because God knows there was four pages in the yearbook with that last name, and talked through the entire national anthem, and someone was shaking change in his ear. Well, that flew all over him. And as soon as the national anthem was over, the principal saw it from across the gym, like, this is going to end bad right now. And, there's just no respect. And that's what my son was in their face. You have no respect. How dare you? How dare you? But luckily, that principal at the time, she threw them out, let my son stay.
Good.
And said, you're right. You're right, Will. Well, he was never one to keep his mouth shut.
Laura, we got a fellow Georgian here from Ringgold. He's up north of me. Huh?
He's up north of me. I wonder if it's as bad there as it is. Well, we moved because I couldn't take it. And, in fact, someone had put on Facebook just recently, in our old town in Lilburn, there was a huge mosque that they wanted to build. And the locals were like, no, no, no. So they built this mosque anyway, of course. And someone just posted a picture for me about a month or two ago because I sent it to my sons. They were horrified. Do you know that ceremony they do where they hit themselves in the head with the knife and make themselves bleed?
Can we do that for them?
Do what?
Yeah,
I wouldn't hit them in the head. I have a better part to hit them. But it was in the newspaper, them having, in the middle of the road in Lilburn, Georgia, them having that ceremony where they hit themselves and they dance around and yell and scream and they beat themselves in the head with a knife. And it was just a puddle of blood on the ground. And I could not believe it was from Lilburn, Georgia.
Well, Ron Adcox. Now I got to tell you something. Okay, yesterday we had, or this weekend anyways, I don't even remember what date it is, but this weekend yesterday we had Kurt Blackwood came over, Ron Adcox came over from Georgia, Kurt's from Tennessee, he's both Tennessee, and Chuck Killing, Killeen from Alaska came over. He happened to be in Atlanta, that area. So we all came over, and we had a good time, just good fellowship, just good talking and that kind of thing. And Ron slapped me. So I just want to let you know, okay, we got some bugs up here, some mosquitoes up here, and they're pretty thick because I do have a creek, but he did slap me. So I'm just – it's paybacks, man. You know what I mean?
Well, the commercial that's on about Star Trek where these two people that's on the ship are talking about how this guy's messed up a little bit. This is Bing after I got through smacking him around a little bit.
You know, frankly, I didn't know that bugs were bigger anywhere else in the world than they are in Georgia. I thought the damn bugs, and every time I've been to Georgia, they got some big-ass skeeters over there.
You know what, Michael, they're not unionized like the ones up in McMinnville.
We got to walking. We didn't have no mosquitoes on us around the house, but we got about 25 yards from the house, and we got hit by a wall of mosquitoes. I've never seen so many and heard so many buzzing in my life.
Oh, they're terrible right now.
They all turned coward on me and wanted to go back, and I'm like, you go through the wall.
My son is from Georgia and stationed up in Alaska, and he says he's never seen everything in Alaska is like, prehistoric, size-wise.
Well, I think Boyd's on the line. He can tell us about the bugs. Well, they don't have bugs in Alaska because it's too damn cold up there.
That's what you'd think, but Chuck says that's where all the record-breaking produce comes from. How that happens, I got no idea.
And I tell you what, that's one reason I'm raising guinea hens up here, all right, to get them booked.
It is impossible to synthesize.
Well, can I be serious for a minute?
Yeah, but who's got the TV on?
I don't know.
I just want to put a plug in for John Stevens. He is a great guy. We do need to all get together and get behind him and try to put him out as much as we can. it'll be good for us and him if we do that.
I appreciate it, guys. Can I share a short story with you?
Sure.
Yeah, when I took my 8th grade kids out sailing on our Manifest Destiny tall ship sailing trip to Catalina Island.
Fun.
Oh, it was fun. You know, I've been doing this for 21 years, living history and sailing on a tall ship where they become sailors and work under the tyranny of a captain.
I'll call Dad.
And it was great, but we had waves so strong, the captain actually ordered us to sit towards the middle of the ship, and for the first time that I've done this in over 21 years, waves were crashing over the hull and drenching us, and everybody was doing croup, you know. And so, once we got to the island, it all calmed down, and after we did our history activities on the island, we had a pretty smooth sail back into Long Beach, but I'll tell you, it was wild going over.
Well, of course, you got video to share with us, didn't you?
Don't I wish. The captain wouldn't allow it because it's not historically accurate. We would have been accused of being a witch or something, and I didn't want to get hung from the nearest yardarm.
But it might be fun to try.
Let's see what our friend from Women Patriots has to say, Barbara Buffy.
Barbara Buffy.
Did you not find
the one thing that really got under my skin is that the President of the United States, the one that sits in the White House, spending our money giving these IRS people bonuses and more bonuses. Well, he broke the Constitution. Nobody's saying a word about it. Those appointees that he appointed, recess appointees, they was blatantly, two courts said it was unconstitutional. Somebody needs to step up to the plate, get the damn balls, and fire the SOB. Get him the hell out of there.
Well, as Dave said too, as Dave said too earlier, Dave Vance, is that, you know, I did not know, and, you know, that's my ignorance, and I plead ignorance on that. I did not know we had a czar of Islamic relations and that kind of thing. I did not know that. Did you, Michael? I didn't know.
No, I didn't know.
I mean,
I'm not surprised.
I'm going to find out about it. Well, I know. This is the socialist type of agenda they got. And, you know, that's one thing with Common Core. And I was trying to play devil's advocate because I want somebody to sit there and explain it to me. Okay? Because if you can explain it to me, you can explain it to anybody else out there. But this has been going on for a long time, and it just keeps changing. Do you see? It just keeps changing. It changes and metamorphosizes into something different. And it's you know, it started off as a socialist agenda, communist agenda, and now we don't know, you know, what agenda it is. You know, it's just the UN agenda or something. It's something more global than what we are, you know. And whether that's right or wrong, I mean, I just want people that are going to go out there and preach against this to sit there and articulate it probably a little bit better.
Absolutely. Hey, well, let's bring in our buddy Scott Whitting and see what he's got to say, and then we're going to start up at the top of the board here with Laura. So, Laura, you're on deck, and we're going to run down the list and just let everybody have closing remarks for whatever they need to close with. So, Scott, what do you got, buddy?
I wasn't even really thinking of anything to say.
I know. That's why I caught you off guard. I love doing that.
I can tell.
Dude, I got to thank you for my profile picture you did for me with the Mulan Luke caption underneath it.
Gladly.
Well, anything you want to say, brother? We don't hear from you often. You do a lot of conservative message. You work hard there in Tennessee, but nobody ever gets to hear the mysterious voice of Scott. So, come on, tell us something.
Ah, man, what a mess this whole thing is.
That's a good thing.
I agree completely that in 2014, we'll be lucky to get, you know, a few better people in there. In the end, I'm still thinking that 2014 is going to be the year that the establishment is proven to be as pathetic as the diehards here already know.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking we're going to see some gains, and I think it's because of everything that's going on right now. But what will we do with them? The gains, that is.
Well, that, you know, that only remains to be seen. But, you know, what also remains to be seen here is how much sheltering of crappy incumbents goes on. I mean, you know, they're already lined up, you know, wagons circled the whole 9 yards here in Tennessee around Alexander. You know, there's nobody stepping up to even potentially challenge our dork of a governor. And that's just here in Tennessee. This problem goes nationwide. The establishment problem goes so deep, we're better off to just scrape the slab clean and build something these political termites can't eat.
Yeah, it might be time for an armed revolution, Scott. I think, you know, I hate to throw that out there, but I think we're getting close.
Oh, I don't know if we'll need to go that far, but I am definitely ready to do away with the GOP in its entirety.
Yeah. Well, Scott, hang tight, buddy. Do what, Bing?
I said we talked about that last night, and I don't know if other people, not just me, but if other people are prepared to go that far. And the whole thing is that, you know, we have to watch what we talk about anywhere. I don't care
if
it's Common Core sitting there, you know, I don't care if it's the census, you know, asking you, you know, what party you vote for, or Common Core asking things for your kid to go to school or whatever. You know, we have to be careful about what we do in some aspects.
Well, we do, but at the same time, I think the government needs to get a little scared. I really do.
Yes, they do.
You know,
they need to get out of our way. But, you know, obviously they've gotten in our way a lot too much, and they're way too deep in some aspects. And
right.
it's going to take a big shovel. A big shovel.
Well, yeah.
You know what the shovel has to be?
Go ahead.
Everybody's got to stand tough. Do you tell them no? I've done it at school. And they say, you have to. I said, and if I don't, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You know, enough people have to say no. You can't be scared. Because guess what? They have more to fear from you than you have to fear from them if you can all band together and just say, I'm not doing it.
Absolutely.
If you know, you had 50 parents, you know, with the Common Core thing, so I'm not giving you that information. Yeah, you're not. Why do you need it? I'm not giving it to you. Sorry. All you need is my son's name and his birthday. You need my number in case of emergency. That's it.
Well, you know,
you're not
Laura,
entitled to anything else.
This was done before, too, you know, back during the Revolution. So
yeah. You just
vigaraves, you know, I guess, to quote. But.
Yeah, you just tell them no. No, and if enough people, that's where, as for us to do it, I agree with what Scott said. There is nobody. Unfortunately, we are so far out of the loop. We can sit here. You look at any website. You look at any Facebook page. You read the newspapers, and you read the blog posts and everything. Most of us are on the same page. But you know what? It's time for all of us to band together as individuals and not worry about so much the consequences of it, because really, what are they going to do? What would they do if half of this country said, I pay taxes through my payroll. I pay taxes when I buy food. I pay taxes when I get gas. I'm not filing. Is the IRS going to go after 150 million people?
No, they're not. And I think that's what we need to do.
You know?
That's my opinion.
I got nothing else to lose, really, if I got to live like this.
Yeah.
If I have to live with the boot over my throat, a house is worth that to me? No.
No,
really?
You know, me and Chuck basically were talking about this last night, and you know, I was talking about the preppers, Michael, that you know are out there, that you know they got the bunkers and they got this and they got all that going on, they got all this ammo saved up. I really don't look, if something happens to this country and I ain't got it anymore, it's not there anymore, or if I have to worry about the Bilderbergers or some other entity trying to take over this country, I only need one bullet.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need, you know what I'm saying, brother? I mean, I'll sit there and fight off an army all day long, but I only need one bullet in the end. And that's the way I firmly believe. So I don't need, I just don't need to stock up. Now, other people might say, oh, that's weak, man. You should, you know, no, I just need one bullet because I don't want to live this way. I don't want to live
absolutely. Well, let's get Kim in here. John Stevens, you're on deck. Go ahead, Kim.
Okay.
Closing remarks, sister.
Closing remarks are, I'm sick of it all as well. I am a prepper, but I agree with what you said about the one bullet, but I will not be taken anywhere by anybody. And all these scandals that are coming out, one of the biggest ones I think that needs to be really talked about is the Extortion 17. And I'm hoping that will become more, it will get out more than it is. And I'm hoping to get Billy and Karen Vaughn. They want to come on your show.
Yes, we'll, Bing and I will get with you on that later tonight or tomorrow.
Okay. So
definitely.
The Extortion 17 and the RS, AP, everything, Benghazi, and I don't believe anything is going to happen to Obama because of it. Miller has already said he's taking the rap for RS and it's stopping there. But I'm sure his life has been threatened. If not. Praying that it will happen differently. And on Tuesday, you know, with the RS Tea Party protests, and I don't know what's going to happen with that. It's going to be a very interesting week, to say the least. And I I'm off for words at this point, Dean and Michael. So I could go on, but it probably wouldn't be very nice what I have to say.
You're a trooper, and we appreciate that, man. I'll tell you what, we appreciate everything you do. You know,
and,
I mean, you're a patriot in every aspect of the words. And thank Nolan so much. I don't know if Nolan's still on here, but thank him so much because he's the future of America.
And encourage him to friend some of your friends, Kim. You know,
he's not on Facebook. He has no interest in Facebook.
Oh, well, good for him.
I'm about ready to ditch it, Michael. I can't handle it no more, you know.
And you know what? Good for him, but you know which friends, if something comes up, you know, hey, I've got a friend, and direct him to any, because you've got a vast circle of friends, Kim, and we're all there to help.
Thank you. And thank you, guys. Talk to you soon.
You're quite welcome, buddy. Stand by.
We do what we can, you know. That's all we can do. We're just regular dudes, right, Michael?
That's it, but and
that's the way I look at it, man. I don't look at myself as nothing special. I'm just a regular dude out there doing regular dude things, okay? And if I know other people, like Scott Wedding out here, he's out there, you know, traipsing around Tennessee and Arkansas and Alabama and Georgia and so on, helping people that are victims of floods and so on. We had the flood come in here today, Michael, or, you know, flood watch. We had the floods over here, 3 years ago, whatever. Obama never came to this this state.
No, he didn't go to Red State. We were lucky. I can't believe he came down to Texas the other way. It was because of the George Bush thing. We preppers, we don't tell people we're preppers. I learned that from my good buddy Scott Whitting.
We don't let
people know we're preppers because we don't want them to come hunting us down when the shit hits the fan. But John Stevens, you're on deck, and Kurt, John, you're up. Kurt, you're on deck.
Well, gentlemen, I'm going to tell you something. Being from Montana, I'm going to use a Montana analogy. Me and my book, The Sissification of America, I'm ready, like Sitting Bull and Crazy Horse were in the 1800s in 1876, to put on the war paint, and I'm ready to go after Custer. You know who Custer is? the federal government and the way that they're trampling on our rights and trampling on the Constitution. And I'm ready to just go after them, but I'm using it as a metaphor, so I can't be thought to say that I'm coming literally, you know, but that's the analogy I'm using. What can I say? I'm an Irish Montanan, and I have a lot of respect for the Lakota Sioux because they stood up for their rights. They fought back in the way they were being treated. And, you know, their rights were being trampled upon, and so are every other American. And we just have to, I'm looking short-term to 2014. Let's increase our numbers, conservative numbers in the House, and take back the Senate and at least do whatever we can until 2016 to control Barack Obama, King Obama, and get somebody in there. I don't want a rhino, though, in 2016 for president.
No.
I don't.
No.
I want somebody who is going to stand the test of time. We need another Ronald Reagan type. And someone I'm seeing that could fill that road quite easily, at least at this point, is Senator Ted Cruz.
Ted Cruz from Texas, yep.
I agree with you, man.
And, John, and look, you people out there, if you have not read John Stevens' book, Sophistication of America, please go out there and get it, because it's a great book. He details everything. He's got everything laid out at the end. You could sit there and look it up. You could sit there and tell your liberal friends, you know, the facts and everything about it. It's a great book, and I highly recommend it. It's well written. It's not a boring read. It's a historical, very fascinating read, man. And
no, I appreciate it.
And I'll tell you what, brother. Anything we can do to help you, that you know, we're here. And Michael, John had a question for you. He wanted to know.
We're
going to ask him on air. What the hell? You know, he wears a kilt. We want it. Well, let me put it this way. I got a question for you. You wear underwear underneath that kilt.
I'm not going to share that with you guys. What the hell? Yeah, you know, that's just something.
You want to know what it is about that, Michael? We were having a lot of
John's
fun.
John's Irish, not Scottish, okay? So he was asking, you're asking a German, what the hell are you talking about?
Well, my daughters were in a restaurant in New York City, and they went up to a couple of Scots and Irish on St. Patrick's Day, and they went up, and they said, I heard a rumor that you guys don't wear anything under those kilts. And they said, well, we'll answer it. And they pulled them up and right in the barn and revealed everything for God and glory. And so I was wondering, does that apply to everybody that wears a kilt or just the drunken Irish?
Let me answer the question by saying this. Wrap 4 yards of 16-ounce worsted wool around you. And tell me whether you're not you're gonna wear something underneath there. But John, hey, look, we've got your links and your book and everything. We've got links on both the Soldiers of Patriotism page at conservativenationradio.org, and we've got it over on Tradam, brother. You're welcome anytime.
Okay, this isn't recorded, was it? I hope not. This last part.
Yes, it is recorded, and I'm not going to edit it either.
Oh my God.
Oh, that's good stuff, man. I'll tell you what, that's good right there.
You guys, Kurt, I'm a teacher.
Thanks, John. We appreciate it. John, GMI, brother, for the
thanks,
show.
Thanks
Kurt,
so much. Sophistication of America, blogspot.com.
You're up, Kurt. Ron, you're on deck.
Hey, yeah, okay. Hey, Michael, listen, I want to address something that was happening in the BTR chat over here a minute ago, and Michael, listen, I'm going to pronounce this gentleman's name for you, Scott Whiting,
W-H-I-T-E.
Okay. Yeah,
Whiting.
That's Whiting.
What do you call him, Whiting?
I just
had
to do that.
Well, yeah. You know, it's because I'm a crazy Texan. We don't know how to talk over here, Brother Kurt.
Now, anyway, now, let me get serious for a moment. Scott had spoke about this, about saving money, you know, while ago, you know, to a minimum of whatever, you know, $10 a month or whatever, you know, to donate and pool our money to support good candidates. Listen, we have an effort started over here in the 8th District Tea Party Coalition that this is what we're trying to work for, and I just want to throw this out there to you now. We can communicate back and forth on this later, but here in the 8th, we have a PAC started. I'll be real honest with you. It hasn't exactly taken off like a house of fire, But we need to get people zeroed in on the idea of putting in, you know, whatever amount you can. If, you know, if it's $10 a week, so be it. If it's 15, if it's 20, if it's 20, you know, or a month. I mean, I'm saying a week, a month. A PayPal donation to a organization or an organized PAC somewhere that is working with this goal in mind. Now, everybody listening here, just file this in your mind, and we'll brainstorm on this a little more on how this can be done. We figured if 20 members of each county group here in Tennessee, I may be off on my numbers here, maybe it was 30 members, if they put $10 a month, you know, in 2 years we'd have $72,000 to put in a campaign. My math's probably wrong, but you get the idea. So, you know, you have, having said that, just we can work on this. We need to get this going as quickly as we possibly can, okay?
Sounds like a winner to me, brother. By the way, where do we stand on that possible Monday night show there, Brother Kurt?
That's looking pretty good. I expect Dave is already gone, but Dave is kind of the engineer on this train.
I talked to him earlier, so it looks good, man. And, you know, I think it looks pretty good. So.
Well, as you get that thing rocking and rolling, I'd like to fill that Monday night spot.
Okay. I think we're going to do that for you. Okay.
All right, brother.
I got to cut out now. I got to head out. So you guys have a great rest of the time frame here, how much of time you got. And I'll catch some of you on Trad-Am chat later on, okay?
All right, brother. Thanks a lot. Ron, you're on. Boyd, you're on deck.
Well, I'm gonna let my wife talk for once. How about that?
Hell yeah.
Oh.
Miss Deckcox, bring her on.
Hello, Sue.
Hi, Dee. Hi, Bing. How are you?
Hey,
I'm
Sue.
Fine.
How you doing?
You?
Michael over in Texas.
I know. Hi, how are you? You doing okay?
Doing
well. We're fine. So did you listen to the show, Sue? What do you think? You were over here yesterday, and what do you think? Other than the mosquitoes, okay? Let's not bring up mosquitoes.
You just won't be talking about Ron that much, but you never mentioned my name, and I'm kind of hurt my feelings, so I'm going to tuck my tail go back.
I'm so sorry about the mosquitoes, man. I'm so sorry about that.
Mosquito, you know, we have so good time, you know. I don't want to come on home, but we was very, very tired.
Well, all of us that lives in the South is familiar with skeeters.
Yes. But they were especially bad this year, Michael. And
do y'all not have mosquito eaters
so
over there?
Much. Huh?
Do y'all not have those big old bugs that look like a big mosquito? We call them mosquito eaters here.
The dragonflies?
Dragonflies.
Well, they're not really a dragonfly. They look like a big mosquito.
Big mosquitoes. Yeah, he all right. You know,
I don't know. You all got some weird stuff out there in Texas.
Dragonflies. Right, says
I mean,
flies. I believe he's right. Use them for fish bait.
Yeah, Ron knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but I got it from Scott. It ain't my info. Scott come up with it.
Scott Whiting?
Yes. We use them for fish bait down here when you go bass fishing.
Oh, Scott Whiting, you mean?
Yeah.
we need to get him out on the next trek over here. But, it was a great pleasure meeting you guys. It's my pleasure. It was our pleasure to have you here and entertain you. So, I mean, I know we didn't do much entertaining other than talk and shoot the breeze, but it was a great time. Michael, you missed a great opportunity there.
Well, I'm going to try to come. It's going to probably be next spring yet, but next spring I plan on coming to Tennessee to hang out with all you fellas.
Well, Tennessee might be Georgia. I don't know where it's going to be. It might be D.C.
Georgia,
for all
somewhere.
I know.
Look, Northern Alabama, I don't care. It, you know.
Yeah, you do care, too.
Hey, no, actually, we might be able to get Michael up there to the shooting range up there in South Carolina, I think. North Carolina, South Carolina?
I wouldn't mind going to Chickasaw County, Mississippi, which I think is just south of Memphis. So, because I got family ties there. But I also have family ties in Henry County there with Brother Kurt, down around in Paris, Earthquake Lakes, all that area. I've got deep ties to that part of Tennessee.
Well, if you read the Paris intelligence over there or whatever, I don't think it's even, it's an oxymoron, but yeah, Kurt posts on there quite a bit. And so do some other people. So it might be something you might want to check out, man. I don't know. You might have Kim that are posting over there, too. I don't know.
Nope.
But, yeah, we had a great time. So, you know, we had some deer meat. We had some hot dogs. And we just had a good time, you know. So drank some beer. God.
Well, Ron and Sue, thanks for joining us. Y'all hang tight. I got a special song to take us out. Boyd, you're on. Scott, you're on deck.
Hello, Boyd.
Boyd, you there?
Santa boy.
All right. Well, we'll go ahead and go to Scott Whiting, a.k.a. Scott. Now, Scott, you know that it's just a Texas thing. If it doesn't have an E in it, it's not Whiting to me.
Well, excuse me for not speaking Texan.
I love
you,
brother.
Or not being named in Texan, for that matter.
It's ignorance on our part. We don't talk real well here in Texas. And if you could see the size of this hell, it's as big as a South Texas grapefruit that just dropped. They're showing it. Apparently, Oklahoma City's getting bombarded right now. And I've never
wow.
seen a chunk of hell so big. It's as big as a Texan grapefruit. But anyway, go ahead, Scott. Final thoughts, and then Barbara, you're on deck.
Well, one final thought just to throw in here is I do have some Scottish heritage, but don't hold having been born in the Boston area against me here. Or growing up in the Chicago area against me either. I love where I'm at, and I hate those areas now.
Well, a lot of good Irish folks up in Boston.
That's true.
Well, yeah, you got John Stevens over here. He's a good Irish guy. I mean, you know, he didn't let his temper fly too much. But I tell you what, I don't think I want to sit there and be around his temper when it goes to fly. Because he's ready for a fight right now.
Yeah, I think we all are.
Yeah, I agree.
And as we were saying earlier, Mike, Michael, is that I think Barbara's feeding back a little bit.
Yeah.
As we were saying earlier, look, these politicians, you got to understand, I think, and I think people need to understand as we go out here, is that these politicians that we're putting into office and that we're trying to help and donate to their cause and whatever, however we can, whether it might be a McDonald's sandwich, that's $5 pretty much when you get that with a fry. And, you know, if we can help these other people out, these are future Ted Cruz's, these are future Rand Paul's, these are future conservatives that are not going up there to help just their state, but are going up there to help other people in other states. And so that's important. And that, I think that's the message we need to get out.
Absolutely,
that's
brother.
That's all.
Totally, I agree.
And we'll see if we can
Scott,
get Barbara in here.
Thanks for joining us, brother. Hang tight. Barbara, you got the final word. Let's get you on here. You got the final word, and then we'll see you a little bit later on for the team meeting that you've scheduled. I will be there.
Ready. Save the last. Woo, I love it. I'm really glad to know that there's somebody else out there running against David Price in the 4th District here in North Carolina, because that SOB stands for everything I don't. He's been in office forever. And he's just a piece of crap. And then on the other note, I don't know if the rest of you have been hearing this or not, but it's been sent out to me. Everybody who's on TV, newscasters, senators, congressmen, they're all saying that we live in a democracy. We don't live in a democracy, and I am writing an article, and that's what I've been doing the past few hours, actually. I started it beforehand, so be looking for that, because it's going to be...
we're really a republic.
Yes, exactly, and people don't know the difference.
No, they don't, because there's a lot of ignorant sheeple out there.
So it should be fun.
Well,
anyway,
we'll have to sit down on it.
You are.
Well, anyways, thank you, Barbara.
Thanks.
All right, buddy. Well, Bing, you got final remarks. I've got a song to end this this recorded segment with. I've got a good song to end it with.
I tell you what, I'm trying to think, okay, what you might have coming up. I'm not even looking in the studio. I'm just thinking, okay, it's got to be something Southern. It's got to be. I don't know.
It's rocking, dude.
Oh, it's rocking. It's Southern rock. Okay. All right, brother. I'm with you, man.
Southern rock, the whole new spin.
I tell you what, Michael, from all the people in the studio today and the quality of the people that we got in, I got to say, I love these people. They're just great. I love them to death. I met new people and, you know, today, and it's just a fantastic trip, man. You know what I mean? That's what life is.
Dude, Bing,
and that's
we're
what
so
this country
blessed.
Is.
We
are blessed. We are blessed.
Nation Radio is blessed to be partnered with Traditional American Movement. We got great friends over there. Ron Adcox, Kurt Blackwood, Boyd, Chuck. I mean, you. There's so many. I know, Scott, I'm leaving people out. You know, then we've got all the good folk here at Conservative Nation Radio. We've got all our good friends like Laura and Georgia and Kim. And, I mean, we are really blessed. I don't think I could be more blessed in my life to have the friends, the circle of friends, the patriots that I associate with in the fight for America that you and I get to associate with on Sunday.
And I'll tell you what, man, I look forward to it. Last week, you know, I was bummed out because we could not do that, you know, and so on. But I tell you what, man, I look forward to it. I really do. Michael, I want to thank you. You do just such a terrific job. Just terrific.
Well, I couldn't do it without you, bro. I really couldn't. I mean,
whether you
sometimes we got to take
not.
Sundays. Yeah. Unfortunately, a lot of these holidays fall on Sunday, and you and I get the brunt of it. But you know what? I think our friends understand. You know, Mama's got to come first sometimes. But brother, I will see you on the meeting here in a little bit. We're gonna let someone take us out that. He's doing, I'm not going to say who it is, but he's doing a rock and roll version in his own particular way. Because we're all in that rest. Huh?
Yeah, that's very cool. And Michael, before you go, remember Harry Glossinger, the author that we had on here at one time, said, I love you. I love you, dude.
Absolutely. All right. Well. We're all gonna get released from our rusty cage right now. Mr. Johnny Cash.
Oh yeah. Good night, everybody. Thanks.
You wired me awake and hit me with a hand of broken nails. You tied my lead and pulled my chain to watch my blood begin to boil. But I'm gonna break, gonna break my rusty cage and run. I'm gonna break, gonna break my rusty cage and run. Too cold to start a fire, I'm burning diesel, burning dinosaur bones. I'll take the river down to Stillwater and ride a pack of dogs. I'm gonna break gonna break my rusty cage and run. I'm gonna break, I'm gonna break my, gonna break my rusty cage and run. When the forest burns along the road, like God's eyes in my headlights, when the dogs are looking for their bones, and it's raining ice picks on your steel shore, I'm gonna break, I'm gonna break my, I'm gonna break my rusty cage and run. I'm gonna break, I'm gonna break my, gonna break my rusty cage and run. I'm gonna break, I'm gonna break my, gonna break my rusty cage and run. I'm gonna break, I'm gonna break my, gonna break my rusty cage.